You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves, and boy does it. Think of us as the love child of National Review and Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. If you need life advice from Dear Leader or the many successes of the We Are Libertarians cast, please send us an email, a political question, romance question, whatever, hog feeding question. We've got experts on that too. If you are new to the program, we catch up for the first 20 minutes or so, then deep dive into analyzing current events in society from a libertarian perspective. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is strong and offensive. With us is, as always, Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you feeling after your reconciliation with the one and only Rob Kendall?
It's been an up and down 24 hours. If you haven't listened to yesterday's show, then you heard that Rob and I have come together. I felt he was very insulting, though.
Did you?
Did you not?
I felt that it went as well as it possibly could have.
I felt that he was very insulting. Jeremiah Morrill, you're with us as well.
Dear Leader, hello.
Have you caught up with that?
I did. I listened to it today.
Did you?
I didn't do show prep. I listened to you and Rob.
Okay. Did you feel that?
I thought
Rob,
the apology is more important than Greg's notes.
Did you feel that it was a good apology?
I think you both met as close to halfway as you could.
All right.
And still walking out with without being too ashamed of yourselves.
Harry Price is with us as well. Harry, how are you?
Going good, going good. Hanging out with Gunther mostly today.
Yeah? How's that going?
That's going good. Yeah, I did do some show prep watching videos, but mostly I was hanging out with my daughter. She's finally 1 month old.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you. 4.8
pounds now?
4.9. Yeah. Is that all that Filipino breast milk I've been feeding her?
Well, that's the best kind.
Oh, yeah.
Duarte breast milk.
Yeah. It's that good, it's the chunky side of Filipino, not that really skinny side of Filipino.
Yeah. The good genes.
Yeah. Yeah. The good stuff.
She's going to have to check that box on the census. It's a specific islander.
Oh, yeah. Getting all the scholarships.
Also with us is Kat Anagnos. Kat, how are you?
Hello. I'm great. How are you?
Out and finally. Finally a woman. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's it's been great, honestly. I've gotten a lot of attention, which I love. So much that Dear Leader prepared a meal for me today.
Yes.
I see that you're hiding it below camera level, though. You won't put the meal on the table. You're keeping it down and out of sight.
Mahi and sweet potato. How is the sweet potato?
Well, here's the thing. It's all delicious, and I am so happy that I have a wonderful leader to provide for me that I do.
But sustenance.
The problem is it's so much food.
Yeah.
Like, usually in communist countries...
Well, you didn't have to lick the plate.
Well, usually in communist countries, you know, they don't have food.
That's true.
But in this...
Very bountiful.
This is a freedom country,
right?
Not communist.
So I've been... The sweet potato was about as big as my face. Delicious.
It literally was, yeah.
And three large pieces of fish.
White fish only.
Right.
No, yes. It was cod, and then one. I gave her the cod, and I took the mahi-mahi, but I generously gave her a piece of the mahi-mahi. I took a piece of the cod. So she got three big pieces of fish.
All scaleless. You really gave her some premium food.
It's still here. She started with the lesser fish first. I need to I'm teaching Kat. She is my intern at the day job. She's an intern here. We spend way too much time together. I'm teaching her a lot about life. Mm-hmm. Today, I taught her about fitness.
We went to the gym.
Yeah. I taught her how to lift weights, and then I made her drink a protein shake, too.
Wait, are you bringing her so that you have a full-time CrisFit camera person?
Yes.
Is that what this was?
It's a reality show for CrisFit Extreme.
I was a little confused because I thought it was about bettering my health, but he gave me a camcorder at one point.
You were given a camcorder and some lighting to make this look good?
Run along, hun. Chop, chop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once I started, hanging up all of the lights and the curtains, I was a little
confused.
In the
LA Fitness.
Right. I was a bit confused, but yeah, dear leaders provided for me. I might throw up, especially if we keep talking about Filipino breast milk. So if you want to see...
Racist.
I know, right?
Well, let's be real. No, I'm kidding.
She prefers United Kingdom breast milk.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry.
Yes,
yeah.
But if you'd like to see three large pieces of fish... thrown up, then keep talking.
Great.
Yes. So Kat has been a lot of fun to hang out. She's 20, so she's young. She's very innocent. Let's say innocent. Would you say innocent? Naive.
Stupid because I'm a woman. Yes.
No, I didn't say that. Just not worldly.
No. Yeah. Not at all.
This is the first time she's actually sat within 3 feet of a black person.
Mm.
She chose to go to Ball State for the big city life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Funcy. A Muncie 10.
Funcy.
Funcy. And they're formerly the Green Street. Was it the Green Street Pub that had the crab raising?
Yeah.
Well, it's my all favorite on McGalliard. That's
Kim
all you
Kraft,
have to remember.
Kim Kardashian was always my
Muncie
favorite.
Part of Muncie is in the Village, which, for those who've never been to college, it is the town area outside of campus.
One
my favorite, right, right. And my favorite thing is how there's potholes everywhere because it's Muncie. And so people who are drunk on the weekends will pour their liquor into these potholes and drink it with a straw.
Gross. Yeah. It's a block party.
Yeah. So...
Well, that's classy.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
four
your sister,
potholes
your sister
later,
Chloe,
and I'm here on this
was,
podcast. Somehow.
She was like Miss Muncie. She won their pageant award. So
yeah, she,
you're carrying the torch with pride.
Technically, she was Miss Ball State, but Miss Muncie just has a better.
And yeah, it's more fitting,
right?
So before we continue on with our chit chat, I want to take a chance to tell you about our two sponsors. One of them is a new sponsor that you heard debuted in the yesterday in the Rob Kendall Show. I'll tell you about them last. But first, let's talk about our great friends at 812 Farms. They are a 2-acre commercial hop farm providing breweries and home brewers with fresh hops, whole cone hops, and hops pellets. They're in Bartholomew County, Columbus, Indiana, home of Vice President Mike Pence, who, happy birthday, was that today or yesterday?
58 today.
Yeah, so please don't hold that against 812 Farms if you're a home brewer or a brewery. They're opening a 250-seat wedding venue right on the farm. They just acquired a complete brewing system to open up their own restaurant and brewery, and they're striving to be Indiana's first destination brewery. So that they really need your support right now, and their ingredients for the restaurant and the brewery will all be grown on site or within a 30-mile radius. So really trying to be locally grown. You guys have been so great in supporting them. If you're not in the Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois area, hell, Michigan, if you're a We Are Libertarians fan, check 812 Farms. If you're not, just go like their Facebook page, please. That would be super helpful just to know that there are We Are Libertarians fans out there supporting them and continue to support 812 Farms. Our next is MartinArmory.com. And MartinArmory.com was founded with a simple goal, to make buying a gun simple and affordable. Instead of carrying thousands of different guns, MartinArmory.com carries only 25. This allows them to focus on providing the most popular guns on the market at insanely cheap prices. For a limited time, their prices are even more insane at MartinArmory.com because they're offering our listeners, We Are Libertarians listeners, free shipping. Simply go to MartinArmory.com, pick an awesome gun, and enter the promo code We Are Libertarians. Again, that's MartinArmory.com, and enter the promo code We Are Libertarians. Ari, have you had a chance to check out MartinArmory.com?
Sure did.
What'd you think?
I love it because I'm a huge fan of Woot because it helps narrow down of really what I'm looking for, because really love my Glock. I really got into the Ruger series of like concealed carry gun, because I used to wear a suit and I don't want to wear a suit anymore, so I really got into smaller guns because large frame guns don't really fit underneath my, you know, jeans anyways.
Yeah, so martinarmory.com has a great selection, cheap prices, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like, it makes it condensed. I like that it is just like this. It's very simple, because most people who want to go get a gun for personal protection, they're not an enthusiast yet. This is nice for that person that I just need a gun. I want my first gun. I want, you know, like, show me this. What am I looking for? This is not that person who's like, well, I'm actually going to sit down this weekend and just build an AR-15. You want to help me?
It's like having a salesman that's helping you along the way. You kind of, it's narrowed down for you, and you say, yep, that's the one I want.
You get them in the door and then you move them up.
Yep. Yeah. It's perfect for Spangle. I'm guessing Spangle's going to end up with one like this.
I'll tell you what. Listen, I will admit this, and I told Chris Martin, who is starting his dream business, and we thank you so much for him supporting our dream business, so please go support his. We really, really want to make a good impression on this sponsor and help them grow as we grow and become a good partner to them. So please check out their Facebook page, Martin Armory. I didn't realize how cheap guns were. I know nothing about guns, and I looked at this and I was like, I thought like a Beretta was $10,000 or something. I looked at it and I was like, holy cow, this is really affordable and really cheap. I could actually buy one of these. Thank you for following up, everybody. You guys are great broadcasting partners.
No, I was like, I didn't remember.
Looking at me like I had something
in my head. I didn't see Berettas on there.
Listen, listen, I don't know anything about guns. I told martinarmory.com. Listen.
They have the best guns. It's the best website.
Oh, yeah. Gun, go to 92S on it. Woo, woo. Ooh, man, that's a cheap Beretta out here. Sorry,
those are affordable.
It was first one up. I didn't remember seeing Berettas on there.
$343. That's a great price. And free shipping now through the We Are Libertarians.
Yeah, do they need a promo code?
We Are Libertarians. So all put right. that put that in, please.
Is check it all together out. Or are there spaces? Do you know?
I don't know. Okay. So
holy smokes, I'm getting ready to blow through Gunther's college fund by this Celtic. Yeah, this Celtic.
12 gauge, $739.
How old do you have to be to buy a gun? Like 25.
Here in Indiana, you have to be 18 to buy a long gun, 21 to buy a handgun. Yeah. So you can buy this shotgun, but you can't get that Beretta.
Well, how do I get an AK-47?
Well, you go to the gun. You get here on some place like Martin Arm. You go on Martin Armory, and you see if they are selling AK-47s, and you apply. You get your form filled out, and you can get an AK-47.
High five!
Boom!
All right, so we have invited all the participants of tonight's part. We're at Saturday night's party. Now, we had a party, if you listen to the Boss Hog of Liberty, hosted by Jeremiah Morrill.
Yes, sir.
And my son, Dakota Davis.
You heard that there was a party on Saturday night. Sorry, I was just effing with Kat. There was a party coming up. You heard the preview. It was hosted by Jeremiah Morrill at his palatial estates, which is really inconvenient for everybody but Jeremiah, because we invite so many people. Everybody has the best time. But everybody leading up, like, I'm not driving an hour.
It's like a retreat, okay? It's a retreat. You guys, you go there, you're not going to be distracted. Mm-hmm. There is nothing else going on. Once you arrive, you park your car, and you have a great time.
No, I felt totally alone. So,
and it's close to Kat, because she lives over there.
Yeah.
She's 20 minutes away.
It was great. Like, the drive from Muncie to this party is the best drive all year.
Yeah.
Because I drive an hour and a half to get here, but anyways...
Right. I made Lacey drive out.
45 minutes door to door from Spangle's house to my house. Yeah. It's not that bad.
Yeah. It's not that it's bad. Not.
Yeah, I napped the entire time. It was great. I made Lacey drive. It was awesome. I recommend having someone else drive for you.
It's like a reverse Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
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 I think Rob Kendall is the only one that really had any difficulty at all, and that was just because it was a kidnapping situation.
That totally was, which is kind of brilliant. But I think she had a good time for her first taste of weaponized autism.
Did we cover that on the podcast?
Yeah, okay. We did.
Because I never know what we talk about on the air. But
no, that, we talk negative about everybody off the air, so we don't put that out.
Yeah. Got a few bones to pick. Got to be honest.
Uh-oh.
It was a great party.
You're welcome.
But I'm very disappointed in Jeremiah Morrill.
Why's that?
Now, now you have heard.
I have water in my hand right now.
I know. So. Yeah. Now, Jeremiah, you have been summoned to We Are Libertarians tonight to answer for your crimes against the Empire.
Yes, dear leader.
But
an apology is owed.
An apology was declared on yesterday's podcast, was it not?
It was.
Even Rob Kendall thought this was a good apology, a necessary apology.
Are we talking about Brett and the apology he owes me? Is that the apology we're talking
about?
No,
that's a separate apology. There's many apologies.
There's a
right
lot
now.
Of apologies.
There's a lot of apologies owed.
If you're involved in We Are Libertarians, trust me, you're used to apologizing, right, Greg?
Yeah. That's a constant state.
There was one point.
You post one meme of Harry with a fedora on, and the next thing you know, his mom's calling you a Klan member.
You did put the N-word in that meme and then on Facebook, so.
Well, it was a soft A, and I contend that isn't the N-word.
So we were in the
she
pool.
She still brings that up, by the way.
We were in the pool at one point, and we were all having a conversation, and then somebody said something to Greg. I think it might have been you. Yeah. And then there was like just an awkward silence, and they go, "Why didn't you say something?" And Greg, they go, "I was just waiting for Greg to apologize."
Who said that?
I don't remember, but it was so funny.
Oh, God.
It was a great party.
It was probably Grace.
It was so much fun, yeah. And but, you know, the de-evolution of Jeremiah Morrill continues, Greg.
You are quite the deviant these days.
You.
I don't know what happened to you. You were like an upstanding member of society.
Christian,
you know,
boy.
Thought well of by all your, you know, Eastern Empire libertarians.
I might have watched Old School before this party happened, and I wanted to be Frank the Tank.
Yeah. Thanks to Joe Ruiz, Pastor Joe, who gets in the chat the next morning and goes, "You all realize you're in your 30s, right? It's getting a little sad." I said, "You know what? Why don't you get back to Puerto Rico?" And
boom,
you know,
baby,
what?
Pay your bills.
He did. He's back in Puerto Rico right now having a great time.
Oh, is he really?
He is. He's in Puerto Rico right now with his family.
Oh, wow.
Buying cheap property.
He's self-deported. Take that, Jeff.
I know.
Now, but the de-evolution of Jeremiah Morrill continues. It's really something. And, Jer, you were as drunk as I have ever seen anyone.
Oh, well,
let alone
you haven't been out enough.
Listen, I go to college, one of the biggest party schools in the Midwest, and I have never
Ivy Tech Northeast.
Yeah. Ivy Tech, right? I have never seen somebody that hammered in my life.
Are you serious?
No, I mean,
yes, you're serious.
Well, okay, the people that I see are that are hammered.
Commit to the joke, Kat.
I don't know,
Kat. Are they not functional like I am? They're not still standing and
like,
carrying
they're
on.
They're about to like go to the hospital, whereas you like look like you could still function, but I knew like the next morning
the lights were on but nobody
was
home.
I wrestled a man. I did fine.
It was an act of fratricide. Like, you actually tried to kill your own brother.
He tried to leave the party and it wasn't time yet, Greg.
That's true. So you helped.
It was not quitting time.
Then why did you let me leave?
Because you didn't say goodbye. And I don't think he was that drunk yet. He really accelerated when, Greg?
When we did three shots in a row.
Right. We were poisoned by some pickles.
We were outside having a good time. We got out of the pool because we were celebrating. I think we had just defeated Harry in pool
basketball. Greg and I had Greg and I beat Dakota and Dakota
Harry.
Davis, my co-host. And Harry, the IT guy.
We'll get to Harry in the pool in a second.
Yeah, but so then we decided we needed to go in and celebrate. And so Jeremiah's like, "Let's do Pickleback," which is a shot of Jameson Irish whiskey and then pickle as a chaser. Then it was like, well, Sarah made all these jello shots. Jeremiah's girlfriend might as well do a jello shot. Then Jer, all of a sudden, it was like somebody called in Rick Vaughn in the movie Major League out of the bullpen. Like, he came in ready to throw heat and goes, "It's time for an Irish car bomb." And so out came the Guinness, and then we dropped a shot of Jameson Irish whiskey into a half glass of Guinness.
Jameson and Bailey's in the Guinness, and you got to drink it quick.
And we chugged
it. You cannot quit on that drink.
It's delicious.
You got to go instantaneously. Greg beat me by about a quarter second. I went back and watched the video.
Look.
Greg beat me by a touch, and Dakota still needs some more practice.
If you want to see the highlights from the Snapchat, Snapchat was all the buzz that night. The letter R, libertarians, we are libertarians if you want to add us. But the Snapchat video recap and the video of the Irish car bomb, amongst many other things like Harry and Creighton fighting like two alphas, Creighton jumping off the roof with a backflip, it's in the We Are Libertarians Facebook group, which you can get to at wearelibertarians.com.
The best part is my dog in all of these videos, watching everything, going, "What are you people
so
doing?"
Judging.
Just judging.
Yeah. Same with your girlfriend. God loves Sarah, but she, after the Irish car bomb, she turned into a total second grade teacher.
It was done, yeah.
Yeah.
See, my favorite part was your mom there, Jeremiah?
Yes. My mom was there, yes.
Joyce and Paul.
I went up to her because somebody was very intoxicated. I think it was Creighton. Was like, "Oh, I'm gonna jump off the roof." So he starts like climbing up there, and your mom was like, "Oh no, honey!" And I thought like she was being a mother. She was like, "No, you have to go the back way to get up." And I was like, "Are you the what is it?
The chaperone?"
And she was like, "Oh God, no!"
Oh no, she parties.
Yeah, no, she was turnt.
She had a good time.
Kat is so young, so innocent, genuinely asked Joyce if she was the chaperone. And the Joyce's face, she was just like, oh, I didn't want to be old.
Well, because she kept like bragging about, like, you must be a great son, because she kept bragging about how, you know, she's the mom of the party. So I was like, oh, you're the chaperone? She's like, oh, God, no. Get up on the roof, Creighton.
She's
like,
the We Are Libertarians house mom, the wall frat.
I'm glad my parents and Sarah's parents stayed as long as they did, because I think the night would have ended a lot faster if they hadn't been there to be the governor.
I think to slow us down a little bit. I looked at you. I think it was you, Jared. And I said, well, now that they're leaving, it's going to get fun, because the party really didn't hit 11 until they left. And you really turned it up to 11. And so all of a sudden, I come out from the pool into the kitchen, and Jer is just standing there with a big shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah, he was.
And at this point, everybody who tried to leave, it was like they were committing jihad in the middle of his living room.
I will take personal offense to this.
He was like, no, man. He was at the day job, there is a great impression that Chick McGee does. You think you're too good to drink with me? What do you mean you're leaving the party? You can't leave the party. Party ain't even started yet.
If I had the wherewithal, I would have been flattening tires to keep people there.
You were genuinely hurt when your brother tried to leave at like 12:30 a.m.
But he couldn't have been trying to leave because his girlfriend hadn't even gotten there yet.
No, she was there. She was hiding.
Was
in
Hannah
the
there?
Yeah.
Okay.
All night. And so it was like 12:30, 1 a.m. And he's like, you're not leaving the party. The party just started.
And it was actually true, because then all of a sudden, then it turned into a signing party. Like, we were...
All of a sudden, yeah.
Everyone wanted
Everybody's
to be branded.
An all-star.
Everybody wanted everything signed. And then Jared just goes, you know what, Danny? You're not leaving. It's time for you. You need a drink. Drink, Danny! And you grab him, you wrap your arms around his head, you somehow get the leverage to...
It's not the first time I've had my baby brother in a headlock.
You had him.
Yeah. You grab his nose, grab his chin, and start forcing his mouth open. And I don't think there was a plan on getting alcohol.
I had an assistant. I went back and checked the tape. I had an assistant.
Who was the assistant?
Eric Lee.
Sweet.
Johnny on the spot with the vodka.
Loving Eric Lee. Who loves so hard. No one loves harder than Eric Lee.
Did I say two? You better make it.
Danny, you just need a drink. And like, I take out my phone and I Snapchat this so you can see it in the video.
Thank God you did.
Of course. And everybody whips out their phone. It's nothing but Jer manhandling his little brother while everybody's videotaping. Which Danny noted after this all was over. He goes, none of you helped me.
You're accomplices.
All you did was videotape it. And then all of a sudden, like, I go, okay, Danny's starting to really get hurt. And Danny, you can see, like, all fun and games, but Danny was about 30 seconds from it not being fun and games.
And you had knocked his beer off while he, like, because you had him like a rag doll and his arms were failing, he knocked his Modelo right off the end of your counter onto the floor.
And so I go, listen. Kat, you've seen me work out. Mm-hmm. I lift a lot of weight, don't I?
Yeah.
I'm very buff. I'm a high-performance athlete, as you all know. So I think I'm going to boss hog my way in there and break this up. Jeremiah has the strength of a retarded bear. a grizzly bear with Down syndrome, okay? That has, like, he's...
Baby Ruth!
You're gonna drink! So
the great part is he's unaware of this while he's doing it.
It's all talent, really. You talent and instinct.
That's you have right. no Primal. Memory of this, do you?
Some. Limited.
And so... I go, I'm going to need a little help. And we start breaking it up. It takes four of us to break it up, including Sarah. And I'm just like, Sarah, do not get in the middle. The last thing that we need is Jer accidentally elbowing you right in the head. And then this is a
domestic issue.
Yeah. Right.
I'm glad y'all didn't tase me.
This is why women don't belong in the military, Sarah.
It was like the scene in Oh, and oh God, it's the Zach Galifianakis scene where he gets tased. And, and like
the Hangover?
Yeah, the Hangover. He gets tased and he just keeps storming toward the cop.
So we finally,
like Frankenstein.
We finally get him clear, and then Jared just couldn't be prouder of himself.
I know, you had the most self-satisfied grin on your face.
He's so proud of himself. It's so funny. And so he's just standing there with a shit-eating grin, and I'm just like, all right. So I go back outside for a second, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start a Facebook Live. And so in the group, you can now Facebook Live to a group. And so in the We Are Libertarians...
The most glorious empire.
The most glorious empire of We Are Libertarians Facebook group. You can now Facebook Live. So I started up a Facebook Live, which turned out to be a huge mistake for several reasons. First... We'd like to make a formal apology to Harry for things that Tad Weston said.
I was not the most offensive or out of line in this video.
We're going to need to...
I really felt better about myself Sunday morning after watching this.
We're really going to need to make a double payment this month on the racism insurance thing.
It's like we got a racist DUI charge, and so now our insurance premiums are going to skyrocket.
And so, the next morning, I was like, hey, do you guys see this video?
I wish you hadn't tagged my mother.
I was just
apparently, it was the music that was playing.
I was like, hey, we good, dog?
It wasn't Tad's fault. It was the music.
He was just singing along to the rap lyrics.
Radio edit.
So then I'm like, well, I can't put the camera on. And then I pan over and I put it on Bittner and his girlfriend, 20-year-old sweet, sweet Morgan.
I was told she was 21.
21.
She had a wristband on.
Oh,
so she's 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's 20. I have no idea what she is. I've met her once before.
She's definitely like 23 or 24.
She's 21.
She
graduated from Ball State.
That's right.
In like 3 years.
She's She's a real piece of work. She was a lot of fun. I don't get the whole Bittner thing because I'm never Bittner, so I don't understand how a girl that looks like that can be pro-Bittner. But she said he's cute, and hey, more power to Bittner. We're all happy for you, bro.
Shitty driver, but very cute.
You can go see the photos and some of the videos. You can see Morgan on the We Are Libertarians Instagram if you want to see. But, you know... In a bikini, looking great. I was like, all right, this will be great web content. But then she starts making out with Bittner. And I'm like, I can't have that on a live stream.
No.
Listen, no matter how cute she is, it's Bittner. Making out with somebody, and nobody wants that.
Surprised he didn't offer you some cash to keep the camera on him.
Yeah,
have the footage.
Hey, everybody, look.
Yeah, that part he brought me back to do the lighting again.
Right.
Which is weird.
Right. never mind. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go inside. And so I walk inside, and there's the group standing in the kitchen. And there's Jer. You can see as I walk up, Jer's face. He's still
it's my I have an idea face.
He has an idea.
Your grin didn't leave your face for a solid hour, and you had. No idea how much trouble you were in.
I was
in no trouble.
But I know. Well,
I'm in trouble.
You played it right the next morning, is what you did. Is you faked like how much sick you were so that she wouldn't just tear your head off. But that was a wise decision.
Yeah. So we're standing there, and I turn the camera around to start talking to Danny. And next thing I know, I'm wet.
Yeah. Well, you were baptized in freedom.
I wasn't.
It started raining in my living room. In my dining room.
Kat, as you know, I'm a man, so it wasn't a good wetness.
I have never been sexually harassed by We Are Libertarians.
Stop for eating off your hand, Kat.
Sorry.
So all of a sudden,
she can read.
He took a 12-ounce bottle of water, opened it, and dumped it on my head on a live
stream. Someone had given you that to calm down, too. Like, so you didn't grab a beer? I think that had to be part of it. You were so offended someone would give you water at your own party.
It was a victory celebration. I had just beaten Harry in basketball.
Yeah.
Here is how apologetic Jer is. When I just said that, he pursed his lips, shrugged his shoulders, and got a smile on his face. Was like, yeah. I did that.
And like, who was it? Because Eric Lee that was like, how mad is Spangle right now? And I go, he's not mad. He's very annoyed. Very annoyed. He's not going to get mad and like get pissy about this, but he is very annoyed.
I have a very...
Thank God I missed the camera or the phone.
I was so pissed that we didn't get it on camera. And at one point during all of his drunken shenanigans, Greg, I never should have given him a podcast.
No.
Because at one point he did something stupidly and drunkenly, and then somebody said, Jer, don't do that. And he goes, content! I go, content is not an excuse to be an asshole. But it apparently is. But to that vein, I wish that I had gotten me getting dunked on. There is the aftermath, and then the camera goes to Greg, and Greg's face is just like, what is Spangle going to do?
Oh, well, I mean, because you had you'd been trying to, like, you were going to leave because you were driving home.
This right. is a good time and to plug the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast, because we did cover this on last night's episode, episode 10. Tune in for
coming,
that.
Coming soon. It's like a funny podcast.
Outstanding. Growing by the growing exponentially,
we're
think.
Doing very well.
None of us can believe it's got 500 listeners. So we need to. Tad is at 1,000. We checked the numbers. We couldn't believe how our satellite podcast, how well they're doing. And thank you guys so much for supporting those other. Just go to iTunes and search for We Are Libertarians, or go to wearelibertarians.com and you can see all the other shows. But Greg's face was I was trying to leave, and I have a very strong sense of personal space, and I do not like. Thank you, Kat. I do not like...
You're not allowed to sexually harass him, Kat.
Right.
You cannot touch your leader.
Sorry, I'm just triggered by the word.
I do the sexually harassing.
I have never... I don't like people in my space. If I am dressed, I do not want to be wet.
Well, you're trying to leave, too. And, you know, it's hour drive back, like, and you just gotten out of the pool.
I get insanely irritated if, like, someone's wearing perfume and it gets on my clothes and I smell it. Like, it's just, I may be autistic in that way.
It's great that I chose Spangle. I didn't choose any other party guest. No. I chose Spangle during the Facebook Live.
And it was the very last thing you did before you got sat in a chair.
Before I was put in timeout.
And
the lights went.
And you sat in that chair, happy as shit with yourself, not talking to anybody, just grinning and looking around. And then it was like, all right.
So I immediately closed down the Facebook Live a couple minutes after that. And then
you closed the Facebook Live after Tad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I look at Sarah and I'm just like, now I'm on her team. Because it's gotten out of control. Because he has the judgment of... an infantile person who is dumping water on my head.
Now it's a me problem.
Now it's a me problem, and I am affected. So we can't have anyone else being harmed with water.
Yes, at the pool party.
At the pool party.
How fucking dare you?
And so Sarah and I lure the bear into his living room from the kitchen, and we try to push him into the chair, and he's like, "Oh fuck you!" Woo! Party in the yet? Turn the music. Get off of her, Brett. Ah! you're living it up.
Live commentary of his own party shit face.
So I look over and I start to get. I get a couple of guys to help. It takes three or four of us to push Jer into the chair. He's not going down. A
series of ropes and pulleys to put me down.
It was like when they have to hose an elephant off at the and they get him into the shower. So we're like all of us were just because he was fighting us. So we finally get him in the chair. He falls that he plops down in the chair. And he sits there and he goes and he looks around, he looks to his left, he looks
smiling.
To his right, smiling, and then he just goes.
Well, then I was there when Sarah got him upstairs, and it was the first time he kind of came back. Like he had had
came back from the bed.
And she goes, I think it's time for you to go to bed. And Jeremiah stands up and goes, I think that's a good idea. And then you finally went upstairs and went to bed.
It was epic.
Jeremiah's back-to-back heaters. I mean, the Christmas party, you were very well behaved.
Mm-hmm. It's the water getting me outside, and the Jello shots. The Jello, I can see why Bill Cosby got in trouble with putting pots and Jello shots. I can see why it was a problem.
Next thing you
Thank
know,
you for listening to We Are Libertarian.
That's no. right. Jeremiah asked me multiple times to sit on the couch and asked me how much I wanted to be on the podcast.
I just can't hire a pretty face.
You got to earn it.
Well, I got engaged about four different times at this party.
It was so funny to see sweet little Kat and Agnos walk around, you know, and Kat's a very cute girl, but she's very new to the world. Mm-hmm. And
she's a lot like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America.
And so it's funny to see all these guys flirt with her, and she's like, we're best friends. And I'm like, no, they're predators, honey. They're trying to, like, create...
This is a shark attack.
Clayton.
Explain why you...
Clayton, yes, Clayton.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to you, Harry, but explain why you stole my towel.
I can't say that. I cannot.
I don't know anything about this.
She was just being hunted, and so she was like, I need a towel.
Yeah. She put a burqa on like she was in Syria.
There was one person who was drunk and thought she was cute and was talking to her, and she's like, "Is he flirting with me?" I was like, "Oh, he's definitely flirting with you." And then she was like, "Ew, okay." And then later on,
"Ew,
like,
boys."
I see her touching him and give him a hug, and I go, "Get over here. If you don't want him to do that anymore, don't touch him. What are you doing?"
And I was like, "Well, I'm just being friendly. He asked for a hug."
Right, of course he did.
Well, here's the thing. I was swimming, and it was still light out because it was before all of that happened. And I left my towel in my car, and all of a sudden, like, these predatorial men were just, like, staring at me across the way. And I had already said, like...
You wore a one piece. I don't know what else you could have done.
I didn't wear a one piece.
No, she's wearing two.
I wore two. Oh,
I'm sorry, Greg wore the one piece.
That was a burqa. Right.
Well, I wore a bonnet, but bonnet. So I start to like get out of the water, and I just see them all like glance up, and I was like, "Chris, can I borrow your towel?"
Dun,
he's like,
dun,
"Why? Just use yours." And I was like, "Yeah, that was fine." And I like
she just
pop out of the water,
took
like
my towel.
Put everything on. I like at one point I was like still in the water, and I put the towel around me like over my head. Do you remember?
I've never seen anyone get dressed as quickly as getting out of a pool as a libertarian girl at a pool party.
But I was literally putting on my clothes while I was still in the pool,
shaking.
Here's the thing, okay. To the girls that are listening that have thought about coming to our pool parties, you have to understand it's 50-50 men, women.
No, I'm kidding.
There is actually a very good ratio. But as far as libertarians
go. Oh, yeah,
it
was perfect.
And Kat is just, she's 20 and she's self-conscious. So she's still not, you know, confident yet. But, you know,
she's not running on the treadmill with Spangle confident.
But she was just like,
I'm not a douche. I'm keto confident.
Right.
I just felt like I was at a market and I was being
auctioned.
Like, no, I was going like a deli market, like a food, like I was a piece of meat and like people were getting me, but you took that a little far.
It was really just
It
was really just a couple of the guys were really
they were after.
Well, the Creepertarian's a real phenomenon. It's not like it's fake. And so I tried to warn you that it's a real thing. It's the Creepertarian phenomenon is real.
There were advanced meme warnings.
Yeah, I mean, we warn everybody. I'm telling you, there are going to be 2 or 3 people that you're like, "Holy shit, I might be in their trunk if I'm not watched closely."
Well, and I think that's any party that you
it's
go
like
to.
It's like a Seinfeld episode. You guys covered it right on the last episode.
But we know
it is like Seinfeld.
We know who we know who the creeps are, and so we do our best to protect, you know, like, "Hey, Vladdy Divac, get out of here. Get away from
me." Oh, no. You mean Michael, who is 23?
Yeah, that old gag. But, yeah, you had a great time, didn't you?
I did. It was a very fun party. It was so fun, in fact, that all of my friends, my college friends, right, they, like, texted me and were like, "Oh, my God, we saw your Snapchat story. Can we come to the next party?" And I was like, I mean, I guess I'll add you guys to the list, but, like, we'll see.
Are those sorority girls?
Thank you for listening to We Are Libertarian.
They are invited.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't show up.
So, I mean, there was another young, confident woman there, and she was with Brett Bittner. My favorite part of the night was when we cucked Bittner.
It was funny because I just wanted to fuck with Bittner because he had wrecked Jeremiah Immortal's truck. Then he has the balls to not pay for it. So Jeremiah, Bittner hit a fire hydrant in his own driveway after asking Jeremiah to borrow his truck first to move something, and then gives it back to him unfixed, doesn't offer to pay to have it fixed.
We're working on that. It's going to be fixed. Brett and I are going to be fine.
However,
but it is a major inconvenience.
What makes it way worse, he shows up at the party in a new Nissan. He drives his brand new car.
300 miles on the car.
300 miles on the car. Brand new car to the party. And there's Jeremiah's truck that he wrecked sitting in the front yard. Next to it, Jeremiah has to hide the damage, so he parks it next to a bush so his neighbors can't see it.
He was 100% Bittnered.
And I just thought, that is the most awful manners I've ever seen, and you're supposed to be a Southern gentleman.
It's the ultimate in being Bittnered.
It is.
The poster story.
And you have to understand, like, Bittner has cock-blocked me so many times. There's something about Bittner that he loves to cock-block me specifically. And I don't know if he knows it, but he seems to have a rivalry with me that I feel like there's some sort of tension there. And so this is why I love Greg, okay? This is why Greg is my co-host and my platonic life partner.
Thank God I'm not compared to Bittner. Otherwise,
because
I'd go find some rope and a ceiling fan.
Because Bittner made a very big deal of saying, "Ho, ho, ho! We're going upstairs."
He announced that to the room?
Yeah, he did. Of course he did. Of course. And so
I need to charge an hourly rate for those burgers. Greg,
I told them to leave money when they left.
Yeah. There's got to be a cleaning fee or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Greg looks at me and just goes, "You know what? We should go say hi to Morgan." And I go, "You know what? You're right." so we keto confidently march our way right behind them. Like, my belly is touching Morgan's behind as we walk it in, and Bittner catches wind and then immediately tries to shut the door in our face. I, again, high-performance athlete, shove my body between the door and the jam, and we bust our way in there. And then
Everyone else follows suit into the room, and he is livid, trying to push people out. But his non-diabetic state has rendered him muscleless and unable to...
You guys got to see my treadmill, and you were checking out my Netflix.
I mean, there's a video on the Instagram of...
We might as well turn it on.
Well, you know what, Morgan? Listen, you're in good shape, but everybody could be in better shape. Let's turn on the treadmill. Let's go. Ooh, a video. And you know, me and Morgan just walked on the treadmill a little bit, and then, you know, Morgan and I hung out on the bed and took some photos, and then
all the while Brett's standing there just fuming at you.
Oh god,
he was so mad. And then later on, you know, they finally got the door shut. I strategically waited a good 2 minutes until the whole affair in their mind must have been forgotten when I started playing Pony by Genuine through the door. She opens the door. Oh my god! And we bust in again.
Damn right. And at one point, Francis came in because, like, Bittner had got up off the bed and was just, like, you know, standing there in the corner, like, weeping. And then I'm like, "Francis, just come over and sit on the bed and let's just tell him it's used. It's booked for the night." She did. She plays along, and Brett's just like, you know, much slower at his own pace, but still very mad. And then finally we let them go after storming it. You know, we stormed that room like it was Normandy.
Oh, several times.
It was great. Yeah. It was very fun.
And then you went and helped folks downstairs.
Oh, yeah. We went downstairs and helped Creighton. Creighton had found a lovely young lady.
His endeavors.
He's very young, and so he needs guidance.
So Greg plopped on the couch, and I just stood over them with my phone. And, you know, we were just giving him advice. And what did you say to young Creighton?
I don't even remember. I made him recite the Declaration or the Independence Day speech by Bill Pullman.
I believe you said, "Go down on her like one of the
atomic twin towers." Yeah, go down on her like it's a twin tower.
And so Creighton, of course, was not happy.
Well, now, you know.
But I think everybody's favorite moment was when Harry got the opportunity to swim. Harry, you are of the African persuasion, correct?
Yes, I am.
Right. Yeah. Now, Harry, I'm proud of you for getting in the pool.
Thank you.
Now, we all know that there are those stereotypes out there, and some of them are, you know, stereotypes are stereotypes.
Yeah.
Not all of them are true. Can you or can you not swim?
I can swim.
Oh, okay. Well, so you were
I can't tread water. I cannot float. I sink like a box of rocks. But I can swim.
Why would you sink?
I don't know why.
It's the extra muscle.
You know, I remember saying something. Do you remember saying it? I think you quoted me one time.
I've been told I can't say that anymore.
There are no hard R's on the We Are Libertarians show.
No.
But yeah, I just can't tread like water. I just sink like a... I just sink. Yeah. But I can't swim.
Kat was having a really good time. Everybody was playing basketball. And then Harry gets in the pool. And it was like the scene in Jaws where everyone comes flying out of the beach.
I always got scared because Spangle yelled in my ear and it alarmed me because I was trying to calm
myself. No. It
hit
may
your
not
flight
have
or
been,
flight.
Yeah,
it
hit my
flight. Then you saw black and you got really scared.
It may not have been Spangle that yelled this, but what was yelled?
Somebody yelled as we were swimming. Somebody, you know, I'm just treading water, whatever. Oh.
Mittens.
Mittens.
Okay. Get your pussy under control.
somebody yelled, "Oh, God, what?"
What?
Give him your wallet.
I said,
"Give him your wallet." Play dead.
All right, everyone, it's Harry's turn to swim. White women, back here. Hurry. White women, can't get over here.
I said, white women out of the pool.
It's Harry's turn.
And then I yelled over to our friend Christine. I was like, "Christine, it's your turn. You can get in with Harry, but only for half the time."
And I just see Harry, like, waiting with his fro and his glasses.
He was feeling it out.
He gets to the edge. Now, you have to understand, Jeremiah's pool is one of those pools where it has a very flat shallow end, and then it gets to the deep end, and it's an enormous drop off.
It's an in-ground pool, and it's about 3'6" in the shallow end. Great for kids or hairy.
It has a continental like divide right there.
And then there's a shelf, and there's a 6-foot. You would have been fine, Harry. You could have stood up and still breathe.
Yeah, around the perimeter. There's a
shelf all the way around. Yeah.
I'm still scared. I don't want to take that chance.
So we start playing horse, and Harry literally won't go beyond the drop.
Yeah.
So it ruins the game because Harry will only shoot from like across the pool.
Harry's taking 40-foot jumpers.
Harry, you could have put a box of free Terry Labonte hats in the other pool, and he wouldn't have gone and gotten them.
Harry, listen, I need some more community service hours. Can I teach you how to swim?
You need to teach him how to float.
I can swim. I just can't float. I sink.
And so Greg is very excited because he goes, let's play basketball. Harry's on my team.
Oh, okay.
First pick.
I haven't bought a basketball for that thing since I got the pool. And we had the most flat.
The only time it
was like pine tar.
It had sat under a tree forever. You could tell because I have never it would stick to your hand.
Yeah,
and like it would not come off in chlorine.
Yeah,
it would not come
like
off.
Chemicals and water.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Every time you try to make it roll, it would just stick. It just wouldn't come off.
At first, I thought some of Harry was just coming off in the pool. Then turns out it was the tree.
Wow. First off, you know, I showered before I came in. Such a nice layer off it, so thank you very much.
Oh no, it was a great time, and I think Harry had fun. The only thing is, he didn't like it that he was defeated by Jeremiah and I.
Yeah, took me a while to understand. Like, I couldn't shoot the basketball like a basketball.
Yeah,
I had instantly like, wait a minute, I gotta like throw this thing like it's a football.
Yeah, it was like Shaq free throws, right off the fingertips.
And once I realized, I was like, wow, this thing's going in for me.
I know. Well, you hit. Yeah, you got hot, and then all of a sudden, like, you just would not leave.
Yeah,
like. We were shooting half-court shots, and then eventually Jeremiah and I were like, all right, we're bored. We beat.
Yeah, we started.
We won, and we might as well just end this game.
Yeah, it was over.
Yeah.
Here at We Are Libertarians, we do not stereotype. So just because Harry is black doesn't mean that he's always good at basketball. I happen to be on the team.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. You played high school basketball?
Well, I played middle school basketball, and then I gave it up for soccer.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Then soccer took over your life. And then
softball.
And then softball.
And softball.
Yeah.
But I hate basketball, but I'm actually strangely good at it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Kat?
Why?
Why did you make air quotes?
Yeah.
Racist.
Did I?
Strangely.
Strange quotes.
Oh, yeah. Nervous tick. I don't
know. Yeah. I don't know. Then she told some joke about jelly beans, and everybody got really offended and left the party.
No. Mm-hmm.
They scattered at that point. But
no, they scattered when you got in the pool. Not because you got in the pool, but because Spangle yelled.
Were you nervous leaving the party? Because you were very nervous parking your car. You showed up, and you parked on the street and blocked every bit of parking I had. You parked your car on the street, walked away, instead of parking in the yard, there were 30 other cars already parked.
There were not, no, there were no cars parked.
They were all lined up nicely.
No, because I was the first, because I parked the first, because I got there so early, because I don't know things.
And then I tried to get Kat to drive in, to pull in, and she wouldn't come any closer.
Well, I don't have depth perception. Like, I really don't.
And then she hit my leg.
Depth perception. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Avid Dave Ramsey listener, debt perception.
I'm on a program.
She can see the debt. I was like, oh, that's
kind of baby steps.
I've been going to the speech pathologist, like, whatever.
Are you paying the money?
Because I had to back out a listener's car. Because Kat was trying to leave at like 1. Is that right?
Yeah, I was so tired.
Yeah, it was like 1:00, and someone
was swimming all day, running.
And this girl, and so she just hands me her keys because she's way too drunk.
Oh, this
like,
was my impression.
Her car.
Remind you, I don't know this woman. Okay, so, yeah, she gives the keys to Greg, and then she comes up to me and knocks on my window. I'm like, oh, my God, I ran her over. I didn't even move my car yet. And I, like, rolled the window down, and she's like, listen, I don't know you, but I'm proud of you for showing up today. And I'm like, it's night, but thanks. She's like, honestly, have a great night. And then just ran inside.
Yeah, she did. And she just like left. And so then I backed out her car so Kat could get out. And then you like were the most awkward driver I have ever seen. I had to pull into a neighbor's driveway. So, because Kat like is coming down the wrong side. And I'm And I'm like, she's going to get a DUI for sure. And this, we're 10 feet outside of the driveway. And so I have to literally pull in your neighbor's driveway so Kat can go
but
and
I wasn't, get right on the... The sad part is I was, like, not drinking. Like, yeah. I was literally just...
Sober.
She's just a terrible driver.
I'm a horrible driver.
It was unbelievable. It was Austin Powers-esque trying to back up the golf cart.
She refuses to drive on 465, which is the interstate loop around Indianapolis. So she ended up taking 65 through downtown, through the South Split... Through all the construction that Jeremiah is causing near my house.
You're welcome.
Let me tell you what I saw.
It took hours to get here today because she wouldn't go in 465.
Mm. And then I ended up having to get back on it anyway. So.
Well, it was a fun party.
On the list of grievances I have, after you left, I understand Francis, my cousin, was trying to sober folks up. And how do you sober people up, Greg? You make them coffee and give them a little bit of red meat.
Yeah.
Some grease to soak it up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They went to the refrigerator, and Dear Leader had been put in charge of bringing the hamburgers.
Yeah, it was his debt was...
I spent $80 on food for the pool party.
I spent $125 on liquor, and they drank it all.
That doesn't help me at all.
So my guests go to the refrigerator looking for burgers, and there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
They, it was a crime.
They were stolen.
Hmm. They were not stolen.
Who shows up and brings gifts to a party...
We bring
food for everybody to share. It's a communal party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you take them when you leave early.
By communal, you mean you get to keep $20 worth of 88 12 meat?
That's the payment for hosting.
Right.
No. Yeah. That's
I left all my Hawaiian punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I poured that out the next morning.
Why?
Why?
I left a whole package of hot dogs.
So, you brought cheap-ass hot dogs. I brought Hebrew National.
Those are some good-ass hot dogs.
Okay.
Thank you, Tad Western, for grilling, by the way. You did a wonderful job.
Yeah, Tad Western's a hell of a griller.
Damn straight.
I brought those chicken breasts for me. Those taste real good.
Thanks.
Of course, a lot of people ate
my
chicken breasts.
Harry, would you like a nibble?
Nope, no. Harry doesn't get any because Harry just made fun of...
Spangle smile.
Harry just made fun of my grill, so Harry gets none.
It's not a grill, first off.
I arrived and Kat had your grill in flames.
I was shocked. That thing had flames. Could do flames.
I bought the meat.
Every iron could do
can
grease
I eat
fire.
This, by the way?
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool. I thought you were stuffed.
I'm also so hungry.
I'm going to have a hamburger. This is one of, quote unquote, your hamburgers. And Kat and I are going to enjoy this.
Stolen
right now.
Hamburgers.
She's got to bulk up for softball season.
Nope. Oh boy.
When she go get her new Subaru.
I almost choked on
not the first time you choked. But
wow. And Harry does the offending.
These are very dry. Oh.
Yep.
They
apparently
would have been better on Saturday night.
These are not good hamburgers, Kat.
Honestly, it's meat.
Yeah. All right, guys. We gotta get started. Oh, I need something to drink.
Dear Leader, let me.
This was a bit that should have been thought.
That is mine. Yeah.
She just drank your water.
Don't you hate it when the dark meat is ashy? You need some cocoa butter so it goes down.
She just tried to bottle feed me her
butter. What's going on in the world, Greg? The Great Lakes are overflowing. They're shutting down all the shipping because we've had too much rain.
Yes, too much rain.
And I think the Middle East is falling apart like it is every week.
It is. The Great Lakes, Michigan's being punished for being godless commies. Mm-hmm. You know, God no longer lives in there. So that's what's going on with that. And then Wisconsin is, too, being punished.
They're all being punished for voting.
Oh, yeah. It's God hugging us closer. That's what global warming is. That's why Trump pulled out of the Paris Accord. It's, you know, we don't need God to hug us any tighter. And so there's no reason to control carbon emissions.
It is funny. Lake Ontario is literally at, like, a record level. It hasn't been this high in like, recorded.
Canada doesn't know how to control their lakes.
Why the fuck are we talking about Canada?
Hey,
Who gives a fuck about Canada?
I saw this one tweet that it said, like, oh, God. I just ruined the podcast.
You'll
I don't remember.
It
was like...
Kat has the best stories.
I know. It was so funny.
They always go somewhere.
I promise it was funny. No, it was like...
This one time?
Oh, politician... Or Donald Trump.
Never
we don't need global warming because we have God. God. Bitch, I sent you scientists. It was funny.
Did you just read a meme on my podcast?
Yeah.
No.
It was visually stunning, Kat.
Honestly, I just...
Why'd your mic just turn off, Craig? Turn your mic on.
I feel stupider and stupider every day.
Blame the mic like Clayton did.
Clayton. Clayton Harrington III.
Yeah, at the pool party, Harry made it his mission for roughly 8 straight hours to call Creighton Harrington Clayton.
And it took.
And at one point,
they were chanting Clayton when he was on the roof.
Creighton was drunk for 8 solid hours.
Yeah.
And he at one point, he goes, "You know what, man? Let's fucking do this!" And they fight in lock horns. It's on the Instagram. It's very funny. And then the nerve of the parents, your parents broke it up. I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
So
right when I was getting ready, like breakthrough his tie up, I was getting ready behind him and like German suplex him right into the food table.
All
right,
so we need to get into the topics today. It's too much fun. We had a great time. Hope you enjoyed the stories from the pool party. It was a lot of fun. We'll have one in one every month for the next couple months. So.
Yeah, because Jared's birthday is next month, June 20.
July, we're celebrating it on Dustin Reed's birthday, July 9th. This is my actual birthday, so it will carry into my birthday.
Yeah, you offer a substantial amount of donation to We Are Libertarians that needs
so
to come out.
If you make a $50 donation between now and August 12th, you will get a premium guest pass. You have to be invited to this pool party. You can't just show up, okay? So don't try to do that, people. But if you make a We Are Libertarians donation of $50 or more and say, hey, this is for the pool party, we will give you an invitation to the pool party. And I will have one of the castmates of the Boss Hog of Liberty will be your cabana boy for the evening. Mm-hmm. Either Dakota or Tanner, your choice.
Last time it was Sarah.
The ladies seem to like the gentleman more. And Sarah...
She's spoken for.
Yeah, she's taken. She's not available.
She's been claimed.
Seat's taken.
I'm having a hamburger.
They must be really dry because you guys are silent over there. Like, and it looks like you have just like carrying oatmeal in your mouth.
They're an hour old. I was like, we'll get to it in like the first 10 minutes. Yeah. We didn't.
You don't have to keep eating them.
You know how much.
The bit is over, Spangle. Now it's just punishing yourself.
You know how much I love to revenge eat on this podcast.
Oh, that's the thing is that, Bittner's not even here for you to eat Chick-fil-A.
I can't believe you don't have a bun on it.
I'm out of buns, and
keto.
Take the buns home. I could have brought the buns over here if I had known you.
I wish you had.
Them.
I still have a whole package of my hot dogs left.
If you're gonna steal everything.
I didn't steal.
Don't aggravate the people that are
for
drunk
it with my own money.
The drunks are looking through the refrigerator, going, "It has to be here somewhere." Nobody would take the hamburgers.
Maybe a little personal responsibility would do them well. Okay, there were plenty of chips and other things. This is going to feed me for a month. Okay.
So next up on the list of current events.
Spangles Indian giving.
And you still haven't apologized for baptizing me. You owe me and the listeners an apology.
When you and the listeners apologize for stealing the hamburger, we're going to have an apology.
I didn't steal anything.
Oh, we're going to have another feud, huh?
Or is this a standoff?
This is not going well, Greg.
This isn't going well.
I will magnanimously apologize for bathing you without soap.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. You saved him.
Yes.
You cared about his liberty soul.
Mm-hmm. Next time it's full immersion, buddy.
I apologize for nothing. thank you for... all right, so yes.
Get a waterproof phone, because we're going to have some fun next time.
I have an iPhone 7. It is waterproof.
Giddy up.
Now, you don't want to go to war with me, okay? I've got a Greg Lenz.
Yeah, I've got Dakota Davis.
We've got a, what's
the
that
spawn
mean?
Of
We've
him.
Got a Rhonda or whatever.
Linda. I've got a Linda.
I will crush ISIS.
Side note, will I become sick after eating 3 pieces of fish, a large sweet potato, and a giant hamburger?
And 2 protein shakes?
And 2 protein shakes.
It'll be fine.
With cheese?
You're building muscle.
Things are going to go well tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
You're going to shit at your friend's
house.
You're
going to pull a Chloe.
All right. So, Greg, we've got a big... So, we're going to post this... it'll probably be posted right about the time that James Comey starts his testimony. But we got the text of the testimony today.
We did.
We're recording this on...
On a Wednesday.
Wednesday, June 7th. I'm guest hosting. I guest hosted on Rob's. I'm guest hosting on the Johnny Rocket Launchpad. I'm guest hosting on Lions of Liberty tomorrow night.
So much content. I'm guest Spangles everywhere.
I'm guest hosting on Leading Liberty with Jen Gray.
What's that?
Shut up, Greg. And so I'll be on that show tomorrow.
Who's she?
So she was
a lady in Liberty. Eh?
She's a very attractive, brilliant. Young leader of Liberty. So go check out Leading Liberty. I'll be on that podcast tomorrow talking about the fuck off. Talking about the
Are you flying in studio or is this
deal? No, just remote.
How does that help you?
It helps all of us because I'm going to be sharing I'm going to be standing up for infighting infighting is good, so you'll have to check that out. So, but James, so we're recording this on a Wednesday, and James Comey's testimony was released to the press because James Comey said, I want people to have time to digest this. I want the committee members to have time to digest what I'm going to say. I feel that I have some very detailed and important things that need to be said.
Can we break in for an ad read? And Harry has just found a deal on MartinArmory.com. A Ruger LCP 380 for $265.
How much
shipping.
Would it be elsewhere?
Probably 400.
Yeah. Holy cow.
I know.
It is a steal.
Yeah. Granted, it's not the one with the laser sight, but like for that price, you could add the laser sight.
Absolutely. Anyway, back to what you're doing. But we're just over here browsing the sponsor website.
Listen, I'm not mad at all. MartinArmory.com. So yes, James Comey released a statement, and man, was it detailed. And this has been the rap about James Comey. James is a very detail-oriented person. He documents everything. And the letter that he released, the testimony that he will give tomorrow, was full of so many little facts. And I heard Michael Smirkanish, who is a lawyer, talk on CNN today saying, you know, if you're in a courtroom and it's he said, she said in a court situation, the person with the most specific facts is going to win the day.
Yeah.
And so when you have somebody like Donald Trump who is very broad in everything that he does and says, it's going to be very difficult to read the Comey testimony, to listen to the Comey testimony tomorrow, and not walk away going, this guy, he documented to cover his ass, but he also felt that this was a pretty important meeting.
He did, and the guy's got a track record of being meticulous, and it's something the FBI does as well. It's something I would struggle to do, because after his first the first meeting at Trump Tower with the president-elect, after he briefed him on the nature of the Russian hacking, he ended up leaving the built Trump Tower, getting into the SUV, and started typing up the notes from memory of the meeting and what happened. And so he's met Trump 9 times and meticulously took notes after every single occurrence.
Now, let's put that into perspective, because he met with Donald Trump while head of the FBI. Or he met with Barack Obama twice. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it was a very small and it was very superfluous things, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the first time he spoke to him ever one-on-one was, what was he briefing? He was briefing him with another individual. And off the top of my head, I can't remember, but it wasn't something very important. It was the second time was simply to give him a call and wish him well as he was leaving office.
You have to understand, Barack Obama was known as somebody who didn't meet a lot with his generals. The movie, I think it's called War Machine on Netflix, that is sort of a spoof on the General McChrystal affair, kind of covers this. So really recommend that. A great movie.
Foreign policy and military forays were not something he was terribly concerned with.
He didn't have a lot of one-on-ones with people, but still, when you talk about an administration over the 6 months... 9 times, starting with January 9th, I believe it was, when he first met with Donald Trump and told him that he was not the subject of an investigation.
Because he had testified before Congress as well on that.
Every other interaction always kind of came back to that with Donald Trump.
Yes.
For James Comey. And it finally got to a point where he says in his testimony, he was in a meeting, and this all circles around a specific incident where they're at a meeting, and Donald Trump, it's a security briefing, and Donald Trump asks Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, it's February 14th, the Oval General. Office meeting, and it was a scheduled counterterrorism briefing for the president. And so he sat behind the desk with the CIA director, the director of the NCTC, the Attorney General, Homeland Security, which NCTC's National Counterterrorism Center director, the Deputy CIA director, and then Jared Kushner was in the room as well. And the meeting was concluding, and he says, "Hey, stay behind. I'd like to have a word with you."
Right.
And the Attorney General Sessions slow walked out,
mm-hmm.
and you know, because he realizes that's a problematic thing. One-on-one conversations are not something you want to have a lot of as the President of the United States.
Especially when you are eyeing the FBI because they're supposedly investigating
you.
Michael Flynn or you.
Or your associates.
Or your associates.
And which so, they were. They investigated Carter Page and then Paul Manafort.
And so the FBI director reports to the Attorney General.
Yes.
And so he later on says, I mean, here's where I think Donald Trump is in trouble, okay? This was a significant enough incident that James Comey was thoroughly detailing everything that happened at this incident. So he knew that at some point this was going to be something significant.
Yeah, especially and, given the situation he's coming in from, where with President Obama, he didn't get this kind of access or wasn't asked to do this much direct reporting.
Absolutely. And it's really improper for the President of the United States. It's actually against regulations for the President of the United States to have direct contact with the FBI director when they're investigating the administration and talk about that specific thing. And so Donald Trump has at least broken some regulations if
Well, Comey the thing stands. Is Flynn had resigned. So that is the nature of the discussion. So Flynn had resigned the day before.
Okay.
And so then Kushner even tried to stick behind a little bit and slow walked out. But he goes, hold on, I just want a word with him.
Right.
And so then they sit down and they start having a discussion and they start talking about Mike Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he had mentioned that, he was loyal and that he had, the reason he had fired him was the same reason they gave the press, is that he had lied about the amount of contact he had had with the Russian ambassador to Mike Pence. And so that he felt he couldn't trust him. And so and then he says, I hope you can see your way clearly to letting this go. Mike's a good guy. Then he agrees. He goes, Mike is a good guy. And then he goes, yes, he is a good guy. And then he goes, I really hope that you can see your way to letting this go. And so to me, that is an obstruction of justice, because that would be like saying, Trump's pretty cavalier and says a lot of things that he wishes he wouldn't, in hindsight. And he comes from the business sector and he's not an attorney by any means, nor does he know how the decorum or how you're supposed to respond to things in a way that won't get you in trouble. But that would be like me saying, I really hope you're saying to a detective, since Chris Spangle's already been found or not guilty, or they've decided, they're not going to press charges. I hope you can, let this go and not keep harassing him.
See, I take the opposite view of you. I think that this is the end of the Trump administration, because what I don't know that it is going to meet the level of obstruction of justice, but it certainly has the smell of it. And that is all the Democrats need to pursue this and hopefully win the House, hopefully win the House back, so that the House can then introduce articles of impeachment. And then it becomes an issue. And then is Donald Trump going to get impeached and then thrown out of office? I don't think so.
It's a massive distraction that they don't need
but
to have.
But it is, exactly. It
when
is
a, they're trying to pass health care and tax reform and immigration reform and on down the list, highway bills.
It's transportation week. It's infrastructure week. Did you all hear about that? No, you didn't. Donald Trump has realized that he no longer controls the media cycle like he did during the campaign. And that just because the president goes out somewhere and does something, that doesn't mean that it's going to be that day's news cycle.
News cycle today was the vice president flying on his plane with his birthday party, taking selfies with Ted Cruz.
Of course. So,
Lion Ted.
So I believe that this is, it may not rise to the level of obstruction of justice, but it is troubling to a level that someone who is, I find Jim Comey credible. I find James Comey to be somebody that is hated by both sides, so therefore, anytime a public servant is hated by politicians on either side, they're probably a good public servant.
Why don't you stand with Rand? He voted no. 99-1, and here you are on the wrong side.
99-1 for what?
Confirmation of Comey.
Director Comey.
I have no idea why he voted no. But in this instance, I think that James Comey has been painted into a lot of corners, and he has done what he has felt is best, and has done things that he knew were politically going to get him murdered, or literally murdered, and has said what he thinks, what he believes to be the truth. And I think that his behavior after this meeting shows that he certainly thinks that it is, it's something very serious and troubling, because James Comey made detailed notes about every single thing that was said. He then talked with underlings,
deputy
directors, people,
Rosenstein.
He made sure that
Andrew McCabe.
They were aware of it, but they did not tell any of the people working on the cases about this particular meeting because they didn't want to taint that investigation.
And they also didn't want to open an investigation on Trump, because then if they were asked if they had ever done one, they wouldn't have to admit to closing it, which would be bad for the president.
Right. The reason
he briefed him on that, of the nature of that, of how bad that would be politically for him. He advised the president.
Right. So, and then on top of that, when the first time he gets alone with his superior and Jeff Sessions, he says to Sessions, "Hey, not for nothing, never leave me alone with that guy again. I don't want to be in a room alone with that guy because I am now in an untenable position because I've been put in a position that puts me in legal peril, him in legal peril, you in legal peril, and this is a serious problem." And so, yes, and so Donald Trump was putting pressure on him to publicly say that Donald Trump was not the...
He wanted it out there because the anonymous sources kept, you know, alleging that
he was.
And Donald Trump fed that too by saying his phones were tapped at Trump Towers because of Carter right. Page and Paul Manafort. And so he wanted James Comey to come out and say directly the Donald Trump was not the subject of an investigation to stop the rumors that he was.
Sure. And so the reason that he didn't want to do that is because of what happened during the election, where they come out and they say yes, and then they have to come out later and say no. You know, in this case, no, he's not under investigation. Well, now we're opening an investigation. And then the media scrutiny that would be the political scrutiny that the FBI would be under while trying to do an investigation into the president of the United States would make the investigation so untenable that it wouldn't be functional. And so what Comey was saying to the president, who was refusing to listen, is that I'm protecting you. I'm protecting the FBI. I'm protecting the federal government.
Independence of the agency, because you don't want to lose institutional trust in the people responsible for investigating high crimes and
absolutely.
Treason.
And so what this all speaks to what we have always known about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is so self-centered. And part of us love the fact that Donald Trump is an outsider and that Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about the system. But I watched Lindsey Graham. God forbid I ever agree with Lindsey Graham on anything, but I felt what he had to say last night on Special Report on Fox News was with Brett Baer was very interesting. He never answered a question to Brett Baer. He never answered the question towards the audience. He addressed every answer that he was asked last night on Special Report to the President of the United States. He said, "Well, my advice to you, Mr. President, is that you should do X, Y, and Z." And at the end, Brett goes, "Well, hopefully the president was listening." And he goes, "I hope he was too. I'm sure he was." I mean, because these guys now know that all he does is sit in front of the TV and watch these shows.
Well, he also, you know, his world's getting smaller and smaller. And like the people he trusts are it's down to basically Reince Priebus, the vice president, Steve Bannon, and then Jared Kushner, and then Ivanka.
Right.
And Kellyanne Conway.
And so as his world grows smaller, He's now becoming more and more obsessed with his image and his. He said to Comey, "You've got to help me out here. The ability of the presidency to do anything, aka my legacy, is on the line here. You've got to release me from this Russian thing." And
he just wanted him to report that there was no investigation of Donald Trump, which sure. He didn't want to, because in the event they opened one, he'd have to say that it had been opened if he was asked.
And so Lindsey Graham said last night on Fox News is, "The president, Mr. President, you need to just understand that there are mechanisms set in place. The system is here to protect you. You don't need to do too much. If you did nothing wrong, and most of us believe that you've done nothing wrong,
it will take care of itself.
It will take care of itself, and you need to just be quiet, stop tweeting, and let the system work." And he seems to be refusing to do that. He's calling the FBI director and possibly getting himself an obstruction of justice charge. Up on bat is a perjury charge for somebody somewhere soon. This is what happened to Clinton. It's like, is it a big deal? He got a blowjob in the office? No, but it wasn't illegal. But the second you start obstructing it's the cover-up that gets you every single time.
Nice thing is, I mean, you could say he was smart enough or he was devious enough to make sure it's a he said, she said situation, and that there is enough reasonable doubt exists, because at the end of the day, Director Comey's notes are based on a recollection of events.
Absolutely.
And the fact that he corroborated those events with three of his colleagues at the Department of Justice and the FBI, they're hearing it now secondhand. That doesn't give it any more credibility. in the court of law, because it is still, I mean, it does, if a preponderance of evidence,
the court of law doesn't mean anything when you have a House of Representatives election coming up in 15 months.
Man, I'll tell you, the court but of public opinion is at yes. stake now.
Yeah, the court of public opinion is, but at the same time, his approval rating is higher than Bill Clinton's was at the same point in the presidency.
Bill Clinton lost a whole lot of seats in his first midterm yeah. election.
Well, Newt Gingrich and the Ditto Head Caucus.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think that's the case per se, and from what I can tell from polling is the majority of people don't care about the Russian election.
Right.
They really, and Donald Trump's caucus has already shut out any press that disagrees with what they say.
You're 100% right.
They're the Kim Kardashian caucus. Like, they're a reality TV caucus that's immune to the real news.
Even myself, who couldn't have been more critical of Donald Trump through the election, who is certainly no fan of Donald Trump, I have said on this podcast that if we have agreed about the Russian thing, there is no there.
No, there is
nothing there.
What Mike Flynn did wrong was he didn't report $33,000 paid to him by Russia Today to go deliver a speech and be seated next to a table, and he should have reported that and then also registered as a foreign agent and gotten it approved with the Department of State and didn't.
Right.
Then contact with the Russian ambassador is unusual given he hadn't been seated yet.
This is all transition team stuff. Yeah. This is all from before he was even president.
Right. And I have to say that while we don't care about the Russian stuff, Americans will care about obstruction of justice and perjury.
Yeah, and he just doesn't have... There isn't any obstruction of justice, because if I say, I hope you let it go, that isn't... You're not able to say, I asked him to let it go.
Right.
Right.
I would hope you would versus you need to drop this.
You've
been instructed to drop the investigation.
You're looking at it... Hold on, Harry. Let me finish this point and then sorry, I'll stop monologuing. But I think that the Democrats, I don't know that they've been playing 8D intergalactic chess with this. I don't think that they're smart enough to box Donald Trump in the way that they have boxed him in by playing on his personality so well. But if you were to look back, you could say there is a conspiracy to get Donald Trump by creating the Russian narrative, keeping it in the media, keeping him obsessed with it to the point that he will now start doing things to protect his ego and legacy.
The paranoia kicks in.
The paranoia kicks
like
in
Nixon.
That he will now start doing things that are illegal. And we can't sit here and say that Donald Trump is done towing the line of obstruction of justice.
No, he got right up to the edge.
Because he's going to keep doing it.
This is 4 months in.
And so now, if I'm a Democrat, if I'm Chuck Schumer sitting there, I'm going, oh, he blinked. We got him. We just got to keep this going, and he will just keep rattling his cage, and then eventually we're going to win the House back, and we're going to impeach him. Like, to me, I would never have thought of it, but now I'm looking at it going, he's so obsessed with this that he's going to commit a crime. We just need to keep the pressure on and let Donald be Donald.
Yeah, I don't foresee that happening because of the nature of the upcoming midterms. Like, they're not going to lose the Senate and they're not going to lose the House.
Correct.
Personally, yeah. Like that's in my opinion.
I think
outside of him asking Tim to actually stop the investigation, like that discovery, mm-hmm. which at this point it is second. The FBI director took notes after a meeting. Donald Trump, and in it, what he recalls from memory isn't a crime or anything doing anything wrong. And then Mike Rogers and Dan Coats just testified, director of the CIA and National NSA. They just testified today that they never felt pressure by the Trump administration to stop any investigation.
Completely critical that the Republicans pass at least two big things in this summer session.
Yeah, they got to do tax reform
and healthcare.
Yeah, but they got to lead. They got to lead with tax reform because that's actually part of the healthcare bill. Like that.
Right. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But they have to have accomplishments going in because it's going to be campaign season, and they will have nothing to run off of. And the only thing that they're going to have to deal with is their failures and this investigation.
You promised a wall. You promised Obamacare repeal, and you promised a healthy economy. You got to do those three things if you're Donald Trump.
The thing is, they pinned him on the transportation bill because there's no reason not to support it whether you're a Democrat. Based on the way it's structured, outside of the privatization of the FAA, it would be a bill that you could walk right out of a Democratic committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's job creation, and that's putting the ball in their court. So that is, he can just wail away on Twitter about why Democrats are anti-American worker.
Yeah. The other thing that has always got me with this whole, like, this
trying to go after Trump like that. If they are playing like that 8D galactic backgammon, the thing is the Democrats would have to use this whole thing to get it, to bump somebody up for 4 years to get a name out there for 2020. They don't have anybody. They need to use this to find that rising star to go after Trump like that. That's what they're using it for. They're hoping somebody will stand up and mend the testimony and like, wow, this person, this is our person in 4 years. They went after Trump. They went after the Lion King. So, but, you know, right now they've just got what?
It's going to be Joe Biden. If they're smart, and he's the only person in America that could, in the Democratic Party, that could beat Donald Trump in a matchup.
Got but
the
they're Democrats, yeah. So they won't be smart.
Right. Well, he's got a pack, and he's going around giving speeches. But Joe's also older,
correct,
than the president. You know, and but he, you know, Joe's arguably, he's like the exact same agenda as Donald Trump, but he is everybody's, you know, kind of goofy uncle. And he's got like the likability, and he's slightly more affable than the, you know, he's not. People get tired of strong leaders. Mm-hmm. Like people love it after a while, but then they start to tire of the constant, like the constant force of will and, mm-hmm. and the chaos and the what feels like overreach by, you know, leaving expected norms.
Yeah, because
that's what's
weak.
Killing the president right now. But a lot of it is because he doesn't have any Republicans on his side. Yeah. The Republican Congress is killing him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not going to see a vote on health care. What McConnell said till September.
Yeah, till September, and they're out of excuses. They'll have nothing, and they had every excuse in the book up until this point, and now what? They just drag on their feet because they want to?
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately, the Republicans have had this down to a science since like the 1950s, is that they just, you know, obstruct any type of legislation possible and just yell, cry foul. But eventually, you do have to get something done, and by doing it, once you make it, once they can get the narrative to be that there's no reason anyone would be against it and make it about the merits of the bill, that does put pressure on Democrats, because then you say, well, why didn't you want roads, bridges, American workers to go back?
Right.
I mean, even Jeremiah, the libertarian king of Henry County, supports publicly funded roads and sells the steel the bridges are built with.
I'd like to drive my car, man.
Exactly. But, I mean, the transportation bill is a solid bill if you're a big, you know, big government statist.
I just wish that that I was the one that wrecked my truck. Whatever. That's fine.
Personal responsibility and all.
I just want smooth, flat roads. Why can't they be flat? That's why I don't like driving my RX-8 all the time.
You live in the flattest part of America, Harry.
There's potholes everywhere. My car's too low to the ground, so I'm driving the Subaru around because there's freaking potholes
Harry,
everywhere.
Harry, I know you've been through a lot, but come on.
What?
Subaru. An Indiana-made car.
Yeah.
He's Hoosier through and through.
Yeah.
Sure.
I even got, like, my America rotary motor. What, burns more gas than anybody's truck here. 13 miles to the gallon. Fuel efficiency.
That's a tie with my truck. About 13.
All right, so 11, James Comey.
The boat. So I'm looking forward to his testimony tomorrow, as long as it's not anything other than his remarks.
It's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. They said the D.C. bars are planning they're planning entire happy hours around his testimony tomorrow, mm-hmm. and using it as like an event.
Yeah.
I feel like we're gearing up for the Super Bowl, but it's going to be a high school football game.
If he sticks to what he released, this thing's over.
Yeah.
Because Rich Lowry reviewed it, and all of the editors at the National Review reviewed it, and there's no obstruction of justice.
He's written his testimony, but he's going to answer questions, right?
Yeah, he's going to answer questions.
So that's where it gets interesting.
Well, if it goes anything like the questions today to Dan Coates and Mike Rogers.
But can we like rewind back to the Benghazi hearing? And remember Hillary Clinton's testimony when she was up there, and
but
how disappointing that was?
Yeah, but you have to also James Comey is very boring. And Hillary is a little more brash. That's why he's a bureaucrat, and she won the popular vote for presidency. James Comey is not going to say anything more, in my opinion, tomorrow than I'm just going to refer to my statement and leave it at that. Mm. I mean, that's really what I think he's not going to say anything broad and sweeping. He's never been the kind of guy who's going to throw the system under the bus. And that is ultimately what he feels he is protecting, in my view. He is protecting the system. He is protecting the FBI. And he doesn't care about protecting Donald Trump, but he knows that to protect Donald Trump is to protect the presidency, which protects the executive branch. And that ultimately is what he cares about. And he's not going to go too far out on a limb.
Oh, I'm calling it now. It's going to be so disappointing that the liberal tears will be delicious.
And I also, we're at the point where if you get your news from, you even see it with like libertarians, we get an entirely different news stories than anyone that like is a normie that we interact with.
Yeah.
Republicans get all of their news stories from news sources that reinforce everything they already believe. And if you read the president's already responded to Comey's testimony. And in it, he says, this is the exact vindication of everything I've always been saying. I was never the subject of an investigation.
And he
and I never asked for him to stop the investigation.
He took to Twitter
to
announce Comey's replacement the week he's testifying.
That was brilliant. Offer.
We're moving on now.
Yeah, he offered the new FBI director, Ray, isn't it? Chris Ray?
He's Christopher Ray.
Yeah, Christopher Ray, who is the Bridgegate attorney for Chris Christie's people that were found guilty and got a sweetheart deal. And then they said, though, this guy, he's pretty young. He went to Yale Law, Yale undergrad. He's from Georgia, Zell Miller. Saxby Chambliss like called him a good boy back when he was confirmed for the Department of Justice position under George W. Bush.
Is he black?
No. He's as white as white gets. Yeah. Like a family law, a nice Southern tradition of family attorneys. Mm-hmm. And so he went and got rich this last year in private practice for King Spalding, and I think in Atlanta.
Spalding.
Yeah, and now he's the new director of the FBI, and I'll tell you though, it's a big job for a guy this young because you don't see FBI directors this young.
He led the criminal division of the Justice Department from 03 to 05.
Under W, yeah. Yes. Right after 9/11, right?
Yeah, he's somebody that is well known in Washington, D.C., but
it's just a big leap ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Trump released his appellate court replacements today, and they are all badass. Like,
really?
Gorsuch,
I didn't even see those.
Level. Yeah, he appointed three. Constitutionalists are like, it's like you just took people better than Scalia and appointed them to the appellate courts. They're losing their mind over how, even like David French for the National Review, who's the biggest Trump critic there is, was like, damn it. These people, he did three bios on all of them. And so
I feel bad I missed that.
Yeah, well, it got drowned out. You know, and the FBI director, most people didn't even see that, you know, Chris Wray got appointed today or they announced it. But unless Comey changes his tune, which he can't say that he was under investigation because then he committed perjury when he testified and then he lied to the president.
Right.
Right.
So he's kind of boxed in. The only thing you can say is, did you feel pressured? And Rogers and Coates already said no. And I would be shocked if he said, yes, I felt that the president was trying to handle me or pressure me into stopping the investigation into Michael Flynn.
Right. Mm-hmm. I really question Dan Coates' career choices at this point, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There is no one who is more establishment than Dan Coates in the history of U.S. politics. Like, he is the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did what Evan Bayh did, only like when Evan Bayh came back here to run in Indiana for Senate.
He was a senator in the 90s in Indiana, and then he left and
he got
went
scared off by Evan Bayh.
Went and did defense contracting.
Yep.
And then came back and won, and like out of nowhere, because he was like, oh, it's so great back to be in the Hoosier State, and he hadn't been back here in 13 years or something
Right.
That.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He literally lived in Virginia.
He's Virginia. He's our senator from Virginia.
Yeah.
And then he retires and takes this job with Obama or with Trump. And honestly, he should have stayed retired because now he's got a bigger mess in his hands than he ever could ask for.
I don't know. I don't know that this is. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think this is going to change any. I don't. At worst, no matter how bad this gets, I think the Republicans still maintain the House and still maintain the Senate. Mm-hmm. At best, if Trump does get progress and they actually make if they repeal Obamacare, or you know, even though it's not the best bill, but it's what's available to get, I think they pick up seats.
It's just
based on the way it's set up.
It really depends upon performance at this point.
It depends on them having a team that's competent, and when you're pushing out Jeff Sessions, who offered to resign.
Well, he didn't like it that he recused himself on this.
Sure.
Which that's when Comey's notes. That's what he had talked about with the other his deputy director and then someone from Justice, was that it would be likely that in this event Sessions would recuse himself, and the president. As you can see from when you actually read what he said during the dinner they had in the green room, just the two of them, he asked him flat out, he's like, I need loyalty. And he's like, well, I'll give you honesty. And then the president says, I need honest loyalty. and so, like, it's crystal clear. And, like, he talks about how it was just an awkward pause. And neither would, after the president said he needed loyalty, after the honesty response by Comey, silence. And it was a standoff.
I look at this and I go, okay, he's pushing out Sessions. He's pushing out Priebus. He's pushing out he's bringing in Lewandowski, who is abusive to people. I just don't feel that he is. Donald Trump is as incompetent, if not more so, than we thought he was going to be. Like, he is at this point just completely obsessed with his image, and he is completely unable to let people go out and do what they do best. Like the transportation stuff, he continually dips his hand in instead of letting Elaine Chao, who
Mitch McConnell's wife,
she's got some clout,
who yeah. worked in the Bush administration in the cabinet. She's the transportation secretary. He's interfering. He's tweeting. You look at what he is doing. He's undermining the investigation he's not in the investigation, but the court rulings where his lawyers are arguing that this isn't a Muslim ban.
Well, he was mad Jeff Sessions watered down the language.
Right. But then he goes out and tweets that it's a ban. Twitter is going to undo him. And so, yes, Sean Spicer is right. It is what makes him special because it is direct access. It is what got him elected. But at the same time, you're not a candidate anymore. And I don't think that he has fully understood that yet. And by the tweets undermine his people's ability to go out and further his agenda. His actions are the ones. He's like having that boss. We've all had that boss where it's just like, dude, I know what I'm doing. Just get out of my way and let me do my job.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, this is the president of the United States. Like, you look at the State Department. Our next topic, I think this might be a good time to transition if we're done on Comey.
Yeah.
If you said everything that you
said. Well, I mean, the president responded, and, you know, his response, the RNC's response, is that, you know, it's vindication for what he's been saying all along. He never pressured anybody, and he was never the subject of investigation.
But the media. Now, so, if you look at what he tweeted about guitar,
Cutter.
I mean, some say Cutter guitar is, you know, it's how
Cutter's
some
a nice ship.
I've Cutter, heard.
Yeah, it's a great ship.
Qatar, Qatar is in a shitload of trouble, as the technical term. And so, Donald Trump goes to Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
and he makes nice with the Saudi Arabians. Gives them a nice weapons deal. A couple days after he leaves.
Largest weapons deal in the history of the United States.
Right. To Saudi Arabia, where how many of the 9/11 terrorists were from Saudi Arabia?
28 to 30.
Yeah, damn near all.
Right.
Yeah.
A couple Moroccans.
Right. They're huge funders of terrorism.
And that's the thing is, you are in a difficult situation because, so their new prince, Salman, is a modern Western individual, and he is not someone I would be shocked if he was someone that wouldn't crack down on the support of the rogue princes funding ISIS and those types of organizations, radical Sunni organizations. But he is also in a situation where he needs the arms in order to stop the Iran is growing, and Iran's influence is growing in the region. That's why you have the Houthani rebels in Yemen that overthrew the government. And so they're actively, you know, fighting a real war campaign in Yemen to reinstall the former leader. And then Iran is the only thing that Qatar did wrong is that they have not disavowed Iran, so, and have still conducted trade with them.
Let's back up. So get back on the timeline. So Donald Trump goes there. Well, the Gulf Coast Consortium, or it's like, yeah, this group of Libya, Egypt.
It's the Sunni OPEC states.
Right. It's Libya, Egypt, it's Saudi Arabia, it's Yemen, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain. And then on the Saudi, if you think of Saudi Arabia, down in the bottom right is Oman, which I didn't even know was a country until this all happened. And then
King of Oman.
Qatar is like on the pinky side of the hand.
Right on the water.
Right on the water.
But one of our beach largest U.S. military bases
right.
is in Oman.
10,000 American troops, and it's right across from the Strait of Hormuz from
Iran.
And this is the largest GDP per capita income in the world.
Yeah, they're in the top 9 in per capita in 52, period.
Yeah.
They have a sovereign wealth fund with $335 billion in it.
Their government is the one that produces Al Jazeera.
Yep, what it's based out of.
So you remember, if you listened to the Shill Report and the feed back in the day when Al Jazeera came to America, Qatar was basically saying, we'll throw as much money as we have to at America. We want to get in there.
They have the third largest natural gas field in the world.
Right.
And so they've been exploring for the last 5 to 7 years whether or not they were going to build a competing pipeline with the Russians through Syria, which is why they supported regime change in Syria, because they are a country that so only 12% of their population are actual Qatar natives.
Right.
88% are foreign workers.
It is the most populous, the largest group, the largest ethnicity in Qatar is Indian.
Yep.
Is Indian, then Qatari, then Arabs weren't even on the list.
No.
And so it is an incredibly wealthy nation.
Doha's their capital, where Al Jazeera was at.
And they have helped America out of a lot of jams. So it's a very
westernized area, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Great Britain was in there until they gave them their independence in the 60s or
70s. Yeah, after sex.
They used English as business. If you're a Westerner, you want to go to the UAE or Qatar.
Right, so when Sykes-Picot was drawn up, the French had Libya, Syria, most of the more... of the more Shia states, except for the British had Iran, obviously. Right. And this is something that goes all the way back to then, is that the British had the influence there, and they were under their direction. And so that's why you have the British school system and westernized influence.
So you have this, and it's amazing. It's a very small country, but
tiny.
It has a ton of oil and natural gas.
Oh, yeah, it's got third largest. But the thing is, they hadn't gone into production because Russia is the natural gas pipeline to Europe. So when Russia decides, they can shut off the natural gas and freeze out Europe in the winter.
Right.
That's always been their leverage, and why they've always not wanted a competing pipeline through Syria. And why they prop up Assad.
Right.
So but if you go back to the Olympics, the head of Qatar actually threatened Vladimir Putin that he was going to have issues with Sunni radicals.
Always a good idea.
If he kept propping up Assad.
Right.
And so that's when they were more allied with Sunni radicals and the Sunni states.
Right.
As they realized that that Russia wasn't going to back out and the United States wasn't going to pursue regime change, that's when they decided to form more of an alliance with Iran, because they saw Iran as the basic, like, geopolitics has completely changed, because the majority of oil and natural gas in the Middle East is now under Shia land rather than Sunni.
Right.
And that's why Sunni countries are really not liking
Sunni countries being Libya,
Saudi Arabia, Libya,
Egypt,
and then United Arab Emirates, Bahrain. Even like so, United Arab Emirates made it a crime today. If a press outlet published something sympathetic towards Qatar and like the food shortages, that it's punishable by a $15,000 crime and a year in prison.
Wow!
Anything just sympathetic in the press.
So the other part of this is that Qatar is a major funder of Hamas and a major funder of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Allegedly,
but they are. Everybody kind of knows it, and
just like Saudi Arabia is the primary financier of ISIS,
right? And so you have,
the 9/11 bomb, you know,
which is hilarious that
hasn't
Trump
been
is
proved
so,
yet.
Yes, Trump is so anti-ISIS, and we're basically giving weapons to the people that mainly support ISIS,
right? You know, it's the nature of businesses. You understand that. There is no if you go after the Saudis, you're going to have rogue acts like happening in Britain.
Right.
It's better for America if they drive Ram trucks instead of Toyotas. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Like ISIS.
Right. So they're major funders of terrorism, which Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia and came back with the impression that Qatar is just they're bad guys. They're real bad over there. They're
but
terrible,
we're refusing to really
guys.
Take a side.
We're
our
not.
State Department, our ambassador came out today and talked about the reforms they'd made.
Of course.
And what an excellent job they've done of leadership under this government.
Yeah, but
because we have our base there.
Donald Trump undermined all of that in a tweet.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have
Harry's
the tweet
queuing it up over here.
So good to see. I'm going to do the X. I'm done. I'm not doing that. So good to see the Saudi Arabia visit with the king and 50 countries already paying off. They said they would take a hard line on funding, extremism, and all references from pointing to Qatar. Perhaps this will be the beginning of the end of horror of terrorism.
So he is so eager to satisfy his ego and proclaim a win for his presidency because he's so under attack in his mind over the Russian stuff, that he's now undermining a country that houses 10,000 American troops.
It's absolutely critical to their
mission. It is where CENTCOM is. Yeah. You've heard of CENTCOM in the last 15 years, I have.
Ed Mattis was the head of CENTCOM in the last administration.
It is our main forward base into Iraq and Afghanistan.
Libya, Syria,
This is our safe location.
Right. And so you'd think that he would understand that and understand that this is a strategic ally that needs to, you know, maybe not kiss their ass, but just keep your mouth shut, Donald. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you got to remember, too, like, so they, there isn't a good way to do it. And so good cop, bad cop almost is the right strategy because what's driving all this is they sit on the world's third largest, liquefied natural gas, their largest export. It's what funds everything. They've also haven't even tapped their largest natural gas field.
Sure.
They conducted 5 to 7 year study with the best consultants, and then that's when it'll be another 5 to 7 years is when it'll be operational, and they decided to go ahead and do it. This kills oil or natural gas prices for Saudi Arabia, which is going to ultimately become their number one because oil demand is slowly dropping. You know, peak oil's turned out to be a fraudulent thing.
Right.
But natural gas demand is projected to skyrocket.
Right.
And so they're going to sell to China. They're going to try to enter the global market, which will kill the prices for Libya, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, any Sunni-led regime. And that is how they buy their complicity of the citizens is they subsidize all food and oil.
Right.
So that they can live a lifestyle that is, you know, fairly decent without any employment opportunities and heavily repressed, but they are able to maintain doing so through these subsidies. That's what caused the Arab Spring is when we did quantitative easing, all their currencies were pegged to ours. So by tripling the money supply, none of the citizens could afford to eat or drive anymore.
Right.
And so there was mass unrest.
Yeah.
And so you walk a really fine line. Their decision to enter the free market and provide natural gas undermines every authoritarian Sunni regime in the region.
Yeah, and they were major funders of the Arab Spring, which all of those countries hold against them.
Because they wanted Assad toppled so they could build a pipeline through Syria and compete with Russia to sell natural gas.
And so you think about Egypt, where they funded the Muslim Brotherhood and the unrest there. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood took over the country and it became an Islamic extremist state. So
right. Well, now it's propped up by Sisi, the guy that went to the U.S. War College that we picked in the overthrow.
So we went from ultimately one American propped up dictator to another.
Right. And like the thing was, they were betting that, you know, democracy would spread under Morsi. Or what was his name? Was he the one that won the election democratically and then implemented Sharia law? Muhammad Morsi or Bruton.
No, it wasn't the Western guy, was it?
Francis Dracia.
Peter Francis, the bankruptcy attorney. Yes. He is in a shocking upset. But he ended up...
They got in there. Whoever, the military took him out because they couldn't agree on anything, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. The guy that was democratically elected that's now sitting in jail, and then we propped up the general to take over, that's who they backed because that would allow them more influence in the region to build this pipeline.
Sure.
Because no bank right now, the major financiers of these pipelines, you need huge consortiums of money to build these through multi-countries. Mm-hmm. The risk is so high, they all backed out. And so luckily, though, Qatar's so rich, people were expecting a food crisis. There were pictures of all of the supermarkets being empty. Just last, you know, the day after it was announced, because they thought it was going to be starvation, and that turned out to actually to be a fake news story.
Really,
really.
Well, the main food truck entrance. I mean, the main entrances for food are on the land entrances from Saudi Arabia into Qatar,
and they import 90% of their food.
Right. So it's important that they have active borders.
Well, so then Qatar Airways, the only airline. They actually, the way they're situated, they have almost no airspace. So because this entire group of Arab countries have now banned their Qatari Airways from being able to go into any of the airspace they need to make the international flights or even the flights into other countries, now is grounded. They literally cannot
fly.
They
can't get out over the sea?
They cannot get out over the sea because that is controlled by Yemen.
Really?
Even all the way up around into the Strait of Hormuz?
They can't leave their country. Right now, the Qatari Airways cannot leave their country, and it's tiny.
But why?
Well,
does,
let's see them start shooting down passenger planes.
But yeah. Yemen is way down on the thumb part of Saudi Arabia. Why are they controlling the airways up by the pinky part?
It was divvied up a long time ago. The actual who has the air rights.
I really do appreciate that Spangle uses his hand like we do for Michigan.
That's right. For the Middle East.
That's for the Middle East.
You turn the mitten upside down.
Well, listen.
This is the Persian Gulf.
Thumb is Detroit or the UAE, depending upon which hand you're using.
If you're a listener in a car and you can't Google map this like I did furiously the other night when Greg proposed this as a topic.
Well, I mean, it's major.
Then you need the hand. Everybody gets that, you know, you've got Saudi Arabia and the thumb is where, what's the place with the rock that they all worship?
Medina.
Medina and
That's off 571 in Ohio.
Medina's where Muhammad was born. Mecca's right. Where he is buried inside of the black cube.
Right. Mecca's over by the thumb, and then up at the top by your index finger, you got Egypt.
Yeah, Egypt, Morocco's at the very top.
What's
first country.
The middle finger?
The middle finger would be Libya, Morocco.
No, that's Africa. That's on the left hand.
The horn.
Right. I'm talking about Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you have Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq.
Just, you know, just the little skin tag part.
Yeah.
Skin tag part.
Saudi Arabia's always looked like the skin tag on the map.
And they're really
right
struggling.
Right underneath the fingernail, right?
Right.
A big part of this is they are really, really struggling to maintain control of the provinces that aren't all that loyal to the crown.
Yeah.
You know, so in the southeast.
In Qatar or in
Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia, okay.
Because they still have, you know, even though they're about 75% Sunni, they still have 25% Shia, who all of the oil and natural gas, that's the land that it's under. And so going into all this, you have ISIS, who's really felt the squeeze, because now Saudi Arabia had an out to disavow them because of Qatar's alleged, you know, financing of extremist organizations. And the American people don't understand the difference between Sunni and Shia. They just think all Muslims are the same. And so that's why today in the Iranian parliament, ISIS sent in jihadists in a suicide vest dressed as women with guns and killed 12 sitting congressmen. They walked in with suicide vests and blew them up. And they're
nuts.
The Saudis are going to continue covertly creating this kind of turmoil as blowback against any of the Shia regimes.
Mm. Mm. Remember, so that was coming out. That was like just kind of rough to even like to read about.
Yeah, like they went in dressed as women in burqas and then you know, pulled a suicide vest and took out 12 congressmen.
Yep.
Kat?
Yes.
Anything to add?
Is this our wrap-up?
No.
Oh. Do you have anything about...
You've just been quiet, Kat.
Yeah.
I honestly have been playing with this, like, purple silly putty
stuff. You haven't shared it, Kat. I've had to talk about Middle Eastern politics over here instead of playing with silly putty.
See, guitar you don't know anything stuck about here.
Geopolitical chess?
Yes.
4D chess?
No, sorry.
Harry's...
Kat.
Harry's playing weatherman over here. He's...
Look, I'm... All I'm supposed to do is answer the door, get drinks, like, wash the dishes...
Look pretty on the Instagram.
Look nice on the Instagram.
You're our aesthetic.
I'm the aesthetic. Like, I don't have a brain. I don't know anything about politics. No,
Kat goes, listen, I am libertarian. I don't know as much policy stuff as you guys. I'll just be the comedy relief. I was like, okay, you're in.
No, I agree.
Qatar should buy all the
suicide bombing.
Are you on the side of the president or on the side of the State Department?
No, she was pro-suicide bombing.
Oh, that's right.
Right, yeah.
I didn't hear her condemn it.
No.
You're with us or against us. This is the axis of evil.
I'm tired of your tweets undermining dear leader, Kat.
I know that we're darn near 3 hours at this point, but we have even touched the London Bridge deal.
It's falling down?
I love Fergie.
How much that's longer all I want to get to. I just do we have sure we to be at this place? No, I'm kidding.
I mean, that's...
Some of us have to go back to Muncie.
That's an extension of, like, the Islamic State, which is just radically getting more desperate because of their financing being cut off. And so they're picking the wrong fight right now.
I have
now,
no idea what you're talking about.
The Islamic State has been, they've decided to just have lone wolf attacks with knives.
ISIS.
Right. So ISIS, though, it has people all over. And so like the London attacks, this is a guy that went to on a visit to Morocco. He was married, white wife in Britain, comes back from Morocco, radicalized, all of a sudden makes her start wearing a burqa, and then goes and stabs up Ariana Grande.
No, that was the blown up. And then the guy who drove a truck into the London Bridge.
Yep. And so these are called upon by the Islamic State. And then you had a guy at Notre Dame Cathedral yesterday show up with knives and something, a hammer?
Yeah, hammer. Yeah.
Hammers. And then they, you know, they Logan Clarked him, took him out.
Yep.
I thought the thing about the Ariana Grande concert was like, they didn't know yet. They were calling it like a tragic incident instead of a terrorist attack.
Tragic, just like Cologne, tragic.
Right.
Oh, God. But yeah, so there's, this is increasingly what's happening, but ISIS is now so squeezed on their oil resources, and they have no ability. They're actually moving all of their cash out of their actual territory because they're and they're having to go through buy like prepaid credit cards or debit cards. That's how they're getting their, since international finance laws, like in order to track terrorist funding and money laundering, are so advanced now that they're having to like literally go to like Spring One Finance, like those Springfield Financial, or like the place where you, if you don't have credit, you can go and get auto loans. Like, and then they're having to get start open electronic stores and go buy a whole bunch of prepaid debit and credit cards to get their money out.
They're being financed by Woodforce Bank down at Walmart.
Honestly, that's what's going on. That's the kind of organizations they're going to. And so their only place now where they're not being pursued radically, or like really with U.S. military and then European NATO military intervention and pursuit, is in the Philippines, which is absolutely batshit insane, because that's where they make all their money from the drugs, from the drug trade, you know, from the poppy fields of Afghanistan, is that they get their heroin out of the Philippines. And they have President Duterte, who one of his campaign videos is like throwing an Islamic or a drug kingpin out of a helicopter and like jokes about it. Like, he's literally Scarface. As the president, and it's because the drug trade has crippled their country and has taken over, and they have mass drug problems. So they elected the former mayor that is just an absolute madman.
Oh, God.
Makes Trump look like the most civilized guy on the planet. And he is backed by the Chinese, but he is also now saying that he welcomes ISIS because he can't wait to eliminate him. And they've issued like a bounty on his head, and he goes out of the presidential palace without any security in a I want to say it wasn't an AK, but it was another
he hit MP5. It was MP5. An MP5.
Yeah, and like says how he can't wait to take them on and eradicate them like dogs. And so that's ISIS's next, you know, because people don't realize Indonesia and the Philippines are about 80% Muslim. And that's where they've been operating out of. And that's going to be the next attack. But my God, if you think Vladimir Putin and the mob are bad, this guy's like Tony Montana, loaded up on coke, like flying out, leaning out of a helicopter like Sarah Palin hunting, you know, moose.
It's like Jimmy Mad Dog Matus the other day was in an interview.
Oh, that was beautiful.
And somebody goes, "What keeps you up at night?" Nothing. I keep other people up at night.
Wasn't that the best answer you've ever heard?
My nips got so hard.
I did. I about spontaneously combusted into a bald eagle. It was the most patriotic I've ever felt.
All right, so final. Give us the final analysis on the Qatar situation.
From a libertarian perspective, it really, we should be supporting their entrance into the global marketplace. You know, we should like it that there is going to be a new competitor to Russia. It undermines Russia's influence by offering a new competitor to Europe to buy natural gas. They are incredibly wealthy, and we conduct a lot of trade for as small as they are for selling American products into Qatar. And it's one of those, we're actually doing it okay. Like, we're selling to the Saudis, we're selling to Qatar, we need to work on opening up Iran, and we need to extricate ourselves from the Middle Eastern dilemma through trade. The only problem is, as always, Israel. Because the only thing that unites Sunni and Shias are the Jews and their hatred for them. So as long as Israel lays low and it just turns into a Muslim battle, we should continue funding both sides. But we should also, Iran is who we should have ultimately support, because they're going to win anyway in the long run, because they are going to be on top of the most natural gas.
Right. You know? I think that this, I think it illustrates kind of, I think the Trump administration will illustrate libertarian foreign policy, and, well, we can't just not lead the world. Chaos will ensue. Well, chaos has ensued with us leading the world, and now that we're, now that, you know.
Chaos is the norm.
Right. I felt Obama took a much, he stepped back from the Bush doctrine that America must lead and America must intervene. In other countries, and Obama took a step back from that, and Donald Trump is an even further step back from that.
He is outright playing both sides and not hiding it.
I am like,
that's ballsy as shit, when you're the world's largest last superpower, you can do it.
Incompetence or intergalactic chess, it does not matter to me. We're barely involved in world affairs.
It's a straight Yojimbo.
What?
It is.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yojimbo is a Japanese tale of a, or a movie you could watch, a really cool movie about this like assassin who's really, really good at his job, and he played both gangs in one town.
Satoshi.
He played both
he's
of the, them. Again.
He's like Nicolas Cage in Lord of War, where he'll sell, you know, he's selling to everybody, but whatever room he's in, that's whose side he's on.
Harry just went full Satoshi.
He did.
You could watch the Bruce Willis version of the movie Last Man Standing. With Bruce Willis.
I love that TV show.
That's Tim Allen. That's a Tim Allen TV show.
Yeah, it is. I was about to say.
Bruce Willis, Last Man Standing. That's the movie with Bruce Willis and Christopher Walken. It's based off of the Japanese show Yojimbo.
Yeah.
But I think it's a straight Yojimbo move. Yeah.
This is the thing, is like it's everyone's so critical that he's going out and outright speaking the polar opposite of what Secretary Tillerson's saying, his State Department appointee, what the ambassador to Qatar saying, and selling funds to Saudi Arabia, as well as being the primary import provider of food, and then, well, eventually now it'll be food, and then we also buy a ton of their natural gas. And that's what we would want as a libertarian. We want to not pick sides and just conduct trade with whatever regime it is. The reality, though, is that if Israel ever gets involved, we're going to pick whoever they don't want.
Right.
Which Israel is just shut up.
But yeah, it looks stupid. It looks amateurish. It is amateurish. But if we're going to talk about like what a libertarian policy would be, it would be sell to both sides.
And I think you're going to find that the world is not going to come to an end. We're not going to slip into World War III just because America is starting to be more non-interventionist under this administration, mostly due to incompetence, but
we'll take it.
We'll take it.
Well, I mean, that undermines confidence in government. That's the best libertarian marketing, promotional material we could have.
We've already bombed a number of countries since he took over. I don't know how non-interventionist you want to pretend that he is.
Yeah, it's true.
But
in comparison to Barack Obama, he's hugely non-interventionist.
He's way behind the pace.
But I mean, the Obama administration
we're out of the Paris Accords. Qatar, gutter, whatever your name is, fuck off.
Unless you want to buy.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I'll come and touch your rock.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, honestly, is the right libertarian thing to just not sell to anybody?
Right.
Correct, yeah. It's peace for a cheap price. It's a bargain.
And if it ends up with us not having a military base in the Middle East anymore,
the right libertarian thing isn't the government being in the middle of the transactions. You let your private companies make these sales.
They are, but the government has to approve them for right now. Yeah. But I mean, we can't just overnight take away the State Department's approval of selling weapons.
Yeah.
Do we need a State Department?
No, we don't. Yep. That's why they cut their funding by this calendar year. They took away 43% of the State Department's funding. Secretary Tillerson committed to a 43% cut of their budget.
Nice.
Which is everything we should want.
Yeah. I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm down for it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, final thoughts for this episode. Let's start wrapping up. Little duck, Clabby and Abinus. Chloe, Cat.
Yikes.
What's your name?
Something like that. No, I didn't really know much about the situation before, so I feel enlightened.
Do you?
I feel much smarter.
At least you know how to draw it on your hand.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, yeah. The glove thing, yeah. Yeah. Or the
use your left hand, turn it over. It's very important.
I know so much now.
If creeper
paint it brown.
What?
Paint it brown.
Oh, no.
For the Middle East.
Yeah. Very racist.
Yikes.
Creepitarians are real.
Lacey,
you experienced it up front.
I experienced it.
And it made you want to put a burqa
on. But you're stronger for it. You're coming back to the next
one. I'm stronger. I'm here.
Because you were very borderline whether or not you're going to attend.
Yeah, I did not know if I was going to attend. Now I'm for sure coming again, and I'm bringing all of my friends. yeah. No, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We're all going to pile in the fusion and make the...
the fusion for softball finals. No, yes. But... I don't know. It's been enlightening. I like the podcasts where the topics I don't know much about, because I feel like I'm learning a lot that I can bring back to my college campus. And
well, next one will be on the banks of the White River or whatever pageant you get involved in.
Right, something like that. Yeah. Miss Muncie. Perfect.
Now, if creepers, creepertarians want to follow you, where can they do that at?
Follow me on all forms of social media at Kat Anagnos. Please do not send me any pictures of yourself exposed.
I sent you a dick. Dick pic, please respond.
PLZ respond.
Thanks again. It's been fun.
All right. Harry.
I think Qatar should buy the last remaining Concords that are still around and just say, catch my sonic booms.
Suck my sonic boom, Saudi Arabia.
And just like boom, just blow out the glass of their city. It's like they'll be too busy trying to repair it than trying to launch missiles on the Concorde.
I don't know if that's a brilliant idea or crazy.
Funny how close those two are.
I know. But, yeah, it's a huge, massive mess. The Middle East is still messed up. It will always be messed up. But I think keeping both sides pointing guns at each other, it really does seem like that. I'm going to make an awful, another sci-fi reference back to Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, when Quark was trying to talk about how to, or the Ferengis, basically space libertarians, we talk about how you could get peace for a bargain by just selling weapons to both sides, because right now no one has an advantage, and as long as you make sure no one has an advantage, they'll always point guns at each other, because the moment one of them gets hurt, the other one's got an advantage, so no one's willing to make a first move. Peace out of bargain.
Also, congratulations on New Hampshire, where the Liberty LARPers got their internet.
John Sununu, yeah. The governor, who was if you remember him, he was the attack dog for the Romney campaign. They trotted out all over the press with the mustache, really old and grumpy. And he's signed legislation to protect cyber cryptocurrency from government
regulation up in New Hampshire. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks to Darrell W. Perry and the Liberty Lobby.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. Like, you guys, I've never seen a governor sign a bill to protect you Liberty LARPers' internet points. You know, that's how you guys exchange goods digitally.
Wasn't there a pot thing signed in New Hampshire, too?
Getting close, yeah, to get the marijuana. Yeah, actually, no, that did get passed. That happened right when Gunther was being born. You have to get pot gone through on New Hampshire. That went through.
I heard that on the Free Coast Free Cast. I listened to an episode of that on the Roger Paxton's network, but I don't live in the Free Coast, so it didn't mean anything to me. But congratulations to Roger Paxton and all our friends in the Free State Project for all their hard work on advancing liberty. We call you Liberty LARPers with love. Jeremiah Morrill?
I'm going to plug, first of all, y'all better get the Middle East in order before the November 26th Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. I don't want that to be canceled as the F1 championship. So let's not let that get messed up. Okay,
right.
Y'all be non-interventionist enough. But
trust me, Europe
don't drop any
like,
bombs
listen,
on the
don't
racetrack.
Fuck up our
right?
race. We've had enough of you people and your squabbles. Let
shout out
this
to Ed
done.
Jones, the guy that should have been the Indy 500 Rookie of the Year, who's the Englishman. But he's actually from the UAE, so he's the UAE IndyCar driver.
God bless colonialism.
It really weirded me out that there was a UAE driver named Ed Jones.
Ed Jones, yes. He could have been from Cincinnati.
Did I talk to this guy when I called in to the call center about my technical issue?
Yeah.
This is a lady from Mumbai.
Hello, my name is Ed Jones.
So Boss Hog Liberty Podcast, appreciate the support we've gotten from Dear Leader and the Wall Network. I think we're growing faster than Wall did in the beginning, which is only because of the tremendous support of this network and the listeners and coming over. Once again, if you're listening here, Dakota is my Greg. I try to carry the show, but
literally,
he's literally he's baby Greg. Looks just like him.
He's my son.
Yeah. So give that a listen. Tanner Perdue's on there from time to time.
Definitely do. It's excellent.
From the Ball State newspaper, we have had a city councilman or a county councilman on who's going to be a regular with our show. So all kinds of interesting stuff over there. It's probably not as policy focused as some of what you come here for, Wall.
It's retail politics like the Boss Hog.
But it's about the interaction of how our county government works and the local. We do dig into a little bit more of the LP stuff and state and actual party politics.
You guys are more focused. That interests you guys more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you guys are much more on the ground doing the hard work.
Yeah, it's definitely a. It's a way for us to have social connection. We are the talk of the county courthouse, which is fantastic down there in Newcastle, Indiana. It's kind of like the local talk radio station now, which has been fun. Jump on Facebook, Boss Hog Liberty Podcast. Like us on there. You can message us. Follow myself, Dakota, and
Tanner.
if he remembers to reply, it's Tanner Perdue.
We're engaged.
Oh, is that who you're engaged to currently?
Yeah, we got engaged at the party. Carry on, sorry.
Very nice.
He's been sliding in DMs.
I'm a cook.
I'm currently eating this hamburger while staring Jeremiah in the eyes to establish dominance.
Believe it or not, this is only my 9th episode of The Big Show.
Really?
We're Libertarians. I've recorded 10 Boss Hog Liberty and 9. This is my 9th episode of
We have to get Jared past Bittner.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know it's a long drive for you, so.
It's a commute. Well, okay. I have appeared on 2 or 3 different podcasts that you will never air. because we record them at the pool.
They were terrible, and they no longer exist.
Now that people listen to the courthouse, do you want us to put them out?
Right.
Oh yes.
Yeah. You were dropping hard R's.
Super R's.
Well, I guess we're not going to nominate Jeremiah for diversity position.
I'm down with the struggle here.
What was the other thing? The other thing that happened this week. There were
lots.
There was lots, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the testimony tomorrow. But I think it'll be way more pomp and circumstance than anything we'll get out of it. If he sticks to what that was, and if the way the questions were answered by Coates and Rogers, as far as did you feel any undue pressure put upon you, or do you feel that you were directly asked to cease any type of investigation, I would be shocked. I just don't see him doing that, because I think that it's one of those things where if I say, you know, I really hope that you would stop investigating someone, or you know, could see your way to, he's a good guy. I would be stunned, because also in the testimony or in the thing he released, he talks about how he likes Flynn because he worked with him.
Right.
And that's why he said he is a good guy.
Right.
And I just don't think that based on all the, you know, the revelation of the leaked report with the leaker, you know, that is so benign. The intrusion was so benign and it was not able to actually hack the election. I just don't see, unless there's actual funds that they can prove tied to someone in an appointed position, that the president will actually ever be impeached. There's just not verifiable evidence.
Man, I'll tell you, when you're done, I'll go.
No, that would be it. That would all be right. My read on the situation.
Shiny object over here. I'm looking at Spangle's bookcase. The only book that I've read that's on your bookcase is Dirty Jokes and Beer by Drew Carey.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of libertarian books on there, Jer. You haven't read...
It's Drew Carey. He's a great, great libertarian author.
So the funny thing about Dirty Jokes and Beer by Drew Carey, I was in 6th or 7th grade when that book came out, and I was the biggest Drew Carey fan. If you look on behind the Fuck ISIS bumper sticker, there's a book, a little yellow book called Homebrewed, and it was a biography of Drew Carey. Drew Carey, when I was a kid, was one of my heroes. I love Drew Carey. I memorized all of his stand-up. I watched the Drew Carey Show religiously. I loved him. I still do. I think he's such a great guy, and he is a great supporter of libertarianism. And I just identified a lot with him and really liked him from the very beginning. And I loved that book, Dirty Jokes and Beer, as did the No Shirt, No Shoes, No Problem book by Jeff Foxworthy. When I was a kid, those were my two favorite books that I read all the time, along with All Over But the Shoutin' by Rick Bragg, which is my favorite book of all time. But that book came out the day that we had a field trip to the Circle Center Mall downtown, and I must have been 10 or 12, somewhere around there.
I remember.
At the mall.
Yeah, from the middle school.
Yeah, and so we went to, it was 7th grade, because that's where I met Brandon Van Hook, one of my best friends. And so I go to the Walden Books, I buy my copy of Dirty Jokes and Beer, and I stuff it into my shirt pocket, into my coat, so the teachers wouldn't see it. Because they were cracking down that day on all the kids who had all this South Park paraphernalia, which had just come out and was just outrageous. People couldn't believe how offensive this TV show was.
America, 1997, Kat.
Right. Yeah.
I was born. I was alive.
Yeah, she was 1 year old. And so
3 months old.
So I stuffed this in. I didn't want this book to get confiscated. I just spent $23 on this. And so I'm sitting in the back of the bus. I sneak out my book, and there is and I'm thumbing through it, and there is a whole chapter on dick jokes.
Dick jokes.
The whole chapter of dick jokes, and I started telling dick jokes.
It's like songs at the back of the bus. Comedians.
And so you have to understand, like, I met one of my best friends, somebody who was in my wedding that I love, named Brandon, who that day, but we didn't really become friends for a few more years till like 10th grade. I had no friends in 7th and 8th grade. I had no friends in 8th grade especially. I was completely isolated. Nobody liked me. And so the dirty jokes and beer, that day when I told dick jokes on the bus and people talked to me and they laughed, it was a revelation. Aww. Because it was a way for people to talk to me and like me. And so I started memorizing jokes. And I told a few during 8th grade. And that down there somewhere is the Urkel joke book, Steve Urkel's joke book.
Well, that's why I didn't like you, because you only told racist jokes.
Right. So
you kept saying, women be shopping. Right. They couldn't culturally identify.
So anytime I could get anybody to talk to me in eighth grade, I would tell them jokes and they'd laugh. And so between eighth and ninth grade, I memorized joke books. And to the point that when I got to freshman year, I had the joke of the day, and people would come up to me, girls would come up to me and ask me what the joke of the day was. You know, all the classic jokes, like, you know, why, you know, the more people you sleep with, the better car you get in heaven. Well, there goes your wife in a Cadillac. Those kind of jokes. also, some very offensive cross-dressers, blow guy jokes. Like, but they killed. And by the end of
season, you were an edgelord.
Right. Very much so.
An angsty edgelord.
I became...
Did teachers come up to you? Or did teachers start to come up to Spangle for the joke of the day?
Absolutely.
We had cool teachers.
Yeah. And so I became...
I was homeschooled. I wouldn't know anything about it.
So it gave me an in with people. It taught me how to interact with people. And so jokes, telling jokes, and because I was always just a comedy nerd. I used to memorize every Bill Cosby record. Have a drink, Kat. I would memorize every George Carlin record.
There, she got it.
For some reason,
she's delayed on the response tonight.
I never collected baseball cards. I collected comedy tapes, and I memorized them all. And so I was ready once I hit ninth grade. And so I credit that book specifically with turning me into the extrovert that I am today and giving me friends, because I ended up being one of the more... I wasn't a popular kid by senior year, but I was definitely well-liked by everybody. So,
Then I didn't see you, because you joined the church I went to right as I was... I was losing faith in God right when Spangle found it.
Right. Absolutely.
Jer coincidence, opened, I think.
Jer opened right up to the dick joke.
I just wanted to see if there was going to be anything in here highlighted.
My dick is so big that my dick has a dick.
Read number 85, Harry.
What, 85?
Yeah, only Harry can really read these.
My dick is so big, Las Vegas casinos fly it into town for free.
And when you're in seventh grade, that is the funniest shit you've ever heard. So
I'm shocked that you listened to like the old Bill Cosby records. I used to listen to those growing up.
Oh, do you know what the joke of the day was in seventh grade for me?
What?
I called Justin Bieber gay, and he hit me with his purse.
Actually, that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good seventh grade joke.
Yeah. I know, right?
So if you're a young kid out there, you're 10 years old and you're listening to this podcast, learn jokes. And I'll tell you what, I was 8 years old when I wanted to go into radio and comedy, and I idolized the Bob and Tom show, and one of my life's dreams has been fulfilled working for that show during the day. I love being there, and so you just stick with it, and you do what you want to do, and you can make it in life. Trust me.
You'll grind it out and start a podcast of your own.
Absolutely.
My dick has better credit than I do.
So, no, you think about it. So,
what seventh grader is listening to this?
So my career has been politics, media, talk radio, comedy, and it all converges here at We Are Libertarians, and this is what I'm going to do forever. So with that, I just want to say thank you guys so much for supporting We Are Libertarians. It is a fulfillment of my dream. I know that, you know, this is my social circle. These are my friends. And we're so glad to get together and hang out for several hours on a weeknight and bring this to you. And when you guys share it, when you guys donate to us, when you guys write a nice review on iTunes, when you just send us a nice note, it means the world to us, because we put a lot of work into this. A lot of research goes into this. A lot of houses are torn up for this, and we do it so you can get something out of it. And we just thank you guys so much for joining us and for sharing this podcast and for being a part of what we're building here at We Are Libertarians, especially 812 Farms and Martin Armory for their support. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode of We Are Libertarians. This is Chris Spangle, and as always, we're saying we promise to do...
Want to do a redo?
Better next time. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
You'd think after 211 episodes.
It's better when you get it wrong.
I know.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.